జయం విశుపాద పరమహంస పరిప్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ శరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం. నిత్య నీలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిప్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్త సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనందకొడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోపినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండగిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామ్కి మాయాపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమనంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ బాడీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ బాడీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ బాడీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శీల ప్రభుపాద. నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ బోధలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినిధి నామిని. నమస్తే సరస్వదేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ. సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధి కర్మగ్రాహ గ్రహీతాంగం మాముద్ధరమవార్ణవాత్. శ్రీమద్ భాగవతాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవసాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయ నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం నవ కేశవ. భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోర్సవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ. నాథస్వం నో యద ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వపాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమన తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యోన్వయాదితరదశ్చార్థేష్భిజ్ఞస్వరాత్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆదిగవే ముహ్యందియల్ సూరయ తేజో వారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృషా ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తగుహకం. సత్యం వరం ధీమహి ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత గైదవోత్రవరమో నిర్మల్సరాణాం సదాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమద్ భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వా వరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యదేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషవే తక్షణా నిగమకల్పదరోర్గలితం ఫలం శుకముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుతం పివద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహో రసియా భువి భావుగాః. సచిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాదిహేతవే తావత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నుమ. యం ప్రవ్రజంతమనువేదమవేదకృత్యం ద్వైపాయ నో విరహకాదరమాజ్యుహావ పుత్రైరిదన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేదో తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిమానదోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమగిరశుదిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపమదితిదీర్షదాం తమోంధం. సంసారీణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుముపయామి. గురుం మునీనాం నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయల్ కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కళవేణుపణిదాతృదానినేందోః. మమ వాచి విజృంభదాం మురారే మధురీం న కణిగాభి కావిగాభి. నమా ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూదలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినిధి నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతిదేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి. శ్రీమల్ గురు చరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. వందే నందవ్రజశ్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్టశ యాసాం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాదిభువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమః. పీతాంబరంకర విరాజిత శంఖచక్రం కౌమోదకీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయమతిసుందరమందహాసం వదాలయశమనిశం హృది భావయామి. కోమళం పూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామలోయం కుమారక వేదవేది వరం బ్రహ్మ వాసదాంబురదో మమ. మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగం లింగైదే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమ శ్రీమదే రాధికాయే నమ. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. So, what we discussed yesterday, that story with Vivekananda and the king in Bikaner. The point to realize is this, that there are two sides in Varnashrama Dharma. One side is the mulyam, the values. The other side is the acharam, that you follow in your daily life, what you practice it, the things you practice in your life. Yeah, mulyams are important, not the acharam. That's the main principle to understand from this, that the cobbler had mulyam in him. He was able to see a person's situation and able to react properly. Whereas the others, they were coming from very sophisticated society, and they have come, but their mind is completely absorbed in their own selfish interests. They have no compassion that a sannyasi had come and not able to think about his difficulty. Instead, they came and asked for what they wanted and they left. The cobbler, obviously, on the other side, he was sitting there and observing all this, and he felt in his heart that the sannyasi also must be hungry. He is seeing him purely from that angle. Spiritually, he has no knowledge, but he had the mulyam in him, that value-based life. Yeah. So, what happened was that it is, and you see these things more in these people of the lower classes. People who come from the lowest level, they have more values than the ones in the upper classes, middle class and the upper class. You don't see this in them. They got educated and they lost all these values. They went to universities and colleges and educated and got big jobs and positions and all, and they lost it. Values, they have lost it. The poor, very remote villages in the north, you find this. They have values. Very remote villages, not in the towns or cities, in the remote villages in the north, and similarly in the valleys in Himalayas, people who are not developed economic-wise, industries, factories, and all modern businesses, that has not gone in there, very remote areas. In those places, you find these values, people having still, they have the values. If you go there and hungry, they will offer you food. And they feel that it is that value-based understanding of Varnashrama Dharma coming from them. Whereas the people in cities like Delhi, Bombay and all the other big cities in India, you go there, because all of them are very sophisticated way of life with their educations and industries and trade and businesses and all that, they have lost everything. They have lost all the values. But some of them may appear as though they have the acharam in their life. Values have gone. So, this point is, Varnashrama Dharmam depends on values, not on the acharam. That's the first thing to realize that. Yeah. So, Vivekananda said this, and to other brahmacharis also, who was there staying with the king there, he told them that, you see, this values-based the Varnashrama Dharmam has the only thing that will benefit, right? When they went back, they informed this incident happened like this to the king there at that time. And what did the king do? He sent somebody to bring that cobbler in to the king, to the palace. So they went and brought him in. The cobbler thought he's going to be punished for something wrong he has done. That is how they were. They had that respect for the system, right? So, to invite a sannyasi for bhiksha and giving him bhiksha and all, from the upper class's point of view, was considered to be a little bit not in line with the traditions then. So he was frightened that he could be punished from that. On the other hand, when he came there, the king, seeing the situation, he gave him a lot of gifts and presents and everything, and appreciated what he said. He is concerned for the sannyasi, right? So you can see this even today, if you go travel all over India, you will find this, that it is in very, very remote villages where there is not much development, the so-called economic development has not happened, and we people who are still living in the traditional way, they have values. Not in the cities, not in the towns and all that. That's all gone, completely gone. Yeah. So if you go there, they will know that you are hungry. They'll give you food, and they consider that getting rid of your hunger first, more than anything else, right? And they consider that as their responsibility. And you can see all these Nagasanyasis, how do they survive? Because the areas where they live, they are given food by the villagers. They come and offer the food to them, right? So it is in these people who are completely rejected from Varnashrama Dharma and who are by birth coming from one of the lowest levels of the society, and it is in them that today Sanatana Dharma is standing in them, present in them. Sanatana Dharma is present in them, right? Why? Because Moolya Adhishthita Dharma. Moolyam they have held on. Moolya means values, right? So not Acharya Pradhanam, but Moolya Pradhanam. Moolyam is controlling their dharma, not Acharam. In Acharam, they don't have the Acharams of the others, but they have got the Moolyams in them. So, there are people, there are people still today who will not deviate from the values. People are there like that. Sadhus. Especially in the north, in the remote villages. South gone because of education and development. Gone completely. They all lost it. Whereas in the village people were like that before, but that's all gone now. Villagers have lost it. Only you find in, because this less economic developed in the north of India, in many places, they didn't have this modern education, so they were saved from this calamity. And if you go to many of the foothills of Himalayas, Garhwal and that area, you still find in them these values. From their behavior, you can see straight away that they still have these values in them. So that is what Krishna is trying to drive at. That Sanatana Dharmam or Varnashrama Dharmam is based on values and not on the Acharam. Acharam, you may be, Acharam so many people are following. That is only an Acharam. The Acharam, you know what that means. You're just following on a daily routine basis, your habits, what you have developed. And Acharam, so Krishna says that in the next verse, you'll see that. When Krishna judges Varnashrama Dharma and says this, Ahimsa, Satyam, Asteyam, Akam, Krodha, Lobhada, Buddha, Prehide, Vajam, Dharmoyam, Sarva, Varnaya. Krishna says that these five things, what Krishna has spoken here in these words, they have been divided into the five groups. So gradually, Ahimsa first, not giving trouble to anyone. It is even kept before Satyam, before truthfulness. Ahimsa is more important. Ahimsa, Satyam, Asteyam. Satyam, truthfulness. Asteyam means not desiring the wealth of somebody else. Not desiring others' wealth. That's it. Akama, Krodha, Lobhada. Kamam, Krodham, Lobham. Three things. Gateways to hell, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Is it not? The last chapter. So, Akama, Krodha, Lobhada. All combined together. Then, Buddha Priya Hideham. being able to act in a way which is beneficial to others, Priyam to others, pleasing to others. Buddha Priya Hide Vacham. Dharmoyam Sarvavarniya. All this is, Krishna says, people born in all dharma, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra, should have these things. Everybody should have this, he said. Ahimsa satyam asteyam akama krodha lobhada buddha priyahide vacha buddha priyahide hacha dharmoyam sarva varniya. Everybody should have that. So, when these qualities goes away, when they becomes diminished, right, you will find that there will be acharams also will change. It is these gunam, these values, that will only if it is there, the acharam will be perfect. Otherwise, what will happen is acharam will start changing. So, and without caring for these things, mulyam, simply following acharam is a materialistic way of doing things. There is no spirituality in that. If you simply follow acharam only, but not taking into account the values, mulyam, then it becomes very materialistic thing. Laugigam it is, right? So, therefore Krishna is saying this, at least the Krishna is very concerned about mulyams. He says at least minimum, you should keep these mulyams, he says. That is these five things he spoken here. Ahimsa, satyam, asteyam, akama krodha lobhada, buddha priyahide haja dharmam, sarvavarniya. So, if these things are not there in a society, they cannot be even taken as human beings. They are not even considered as human beings if you don't have these five things. So you can see practically varnashrama dharmam gone. Mulyam has also gone in the world. And shastram point of view, we are not even human beings. Just come to that level. Yeah. So that's the point there. Ahimsa, so kama krodha lobha. This is, you have to relate this chapter with the seventh canto, where we discuss the varnashrama dharmam there, right? And there Srinarada Maharshi spoke 32 dharma, all mulyams, 32 of them. That is much more rigid than here what it was spoken. If you look into the 7-11, 9, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 5 verses, and he covered 32 mulyams there. Again, mulyam. So mulyam is more important. Mulyam means value and not acharam. You are practicing what you are. So satyam, daya, tapa, shaujam. So 32 is essential, says Narada Maharshi. Those 32. Krishna says, if not that, this is the minimum, this 5. At least minimum 5, if not all these 32. That's the way you have to understand that. The 32 minimum Narada Maharshi said. But Krishna is saying, Krishna knows that over a period of time, things will go one after the other. Because when the Kali advances, first thing that will hit is the mulyams. Mulyam will go. Ajaram may go on still. People will be following Ajaram. But mulyams will go first. So Krishna is saying, minimum these 5 acharam mulyams should be upheld at any circumstances. Those 32 I will read it out. Satyam daya tapa shaujam, tidiksheksha shamodamam, ahimsa brahmacharyam cha, tyagam swadhyayam arjavam, sandosham, samadruk seva, gramyoho uparamashanai, nurnam vibariyo iksha, maunam altma vimarshanam, annadhyade samvibhago, budhe bhyasya yadarhada, Teshu Alpa Devada Buddhi, Sudaram Nrushu Pandava, Shravanam Kirtanam Chasya Smaranam Mahadam Gade, Seve Jyavanadir Dasyam Sakhyam Atma Samarpanam, Nranamayam Parodharmam, Sarvesha Samudakrida, Trimshal Lakshanavan Rajan, Sarvalma Yenatusheti, said. 32. We have discussed this when we discussed 7th canto, so we won't go into it now. But if you want to seriously study this, study this 32, study the 5 Krishna has spoken, and you can see why Krishna gave importance to those 5 out of this 32. These 5 are in the 32 as well. But obviously, because Varnashrama was discussed in detail in the 7th canto, Sri Narada Maharshi said this to Yudhishthira. Because Yudhishthira's question was the same. How can I develop bhakti like Prahlada? He said. So in answer to that, this Varnashrama Dharma was spoken in the 7th canto. Question was, how can I have bhakti like Prahlada? Yudhishthira was very impressed by Prahlada. He was more attracted to Prahlada's bhakti, more than the gopi's bhakti, or others' bhakti, Sudama's bhakti, or other kinds of bhakti. Somehow or the other, he got attracted to Prahlada's bhakti. And then he asked Sri Narada Maharshi, how will I develop bhakti like Prahlada? At that time, the answer was, he said, and how to develop this bhakti in the general class of people, because it's a king, he wanted to know. And in answer to that, Sri Narada Maharshi told him that they should practice Varnashrama Dharmam. And at that time, he detailed, he spoke all these things. Now, when Uddhava asked the question, Krishna spoke in a very summarized form. And there he said that, in Narada Maharshi's speech, in his lecture to Yudhishthira, he said these 32 qualities as mulyams, values, and then he said that anything against this is adharmam, he said. It's not even considered dharmam, right? And so, acharam is not a dharmam, mulyam is dharmam. This is the point we have to learn. Generally what happens, people after some time loses the mulyams and they become addicted to the acharam. You can see that in people generally. And they think that I am following this. But mulyams have gone. Mulyam is more important. Right? So, and problem with acharam is, acharam can keep changing according to time and place. Time, place, circumstances. Acharam will change. Right? So, and you can see yourself, the acharam when we were 4 or 5 years old or 8 or 10 years old, those acharams in the society doesn't exist anymore. Now we are 75, 80 years old. We look back and see how acharams have changed in people. People were satisfied with much more simple lifestyle them days, when we, another 50, 60 years ago, or 60, 70 years back, people were satisfied with very simple lifestyle. They didn't have any of the modern amenities. Simple lifestyle and simple habits, acharams were simple. And now you see, because with the incoming of all this television and all the modern things, acharams have changed. So acharam is likely to change according to time, according to place, according to circumstances, right? So, because of acharam changing, it may not have so much problems with that. whereas if you deviate from mulyam, values, then you may not be able to accept it. That's not acceptable. If mulyam gone, everything gone. Acharam is likely to change from time and place, and like the way you live in India, you cannot live here. There's so many acharams will change. The practice, the way you practice it here will be different, isn't it? But if you deviate from mulyams, values, then we cannot accept that. We cannot accept that. That's wrong, right? So, so values, they are still valuable today as they were valuable then. Yeah, it hasn't. The value has not diminished, right? So, the same value, therefore Krishna is saying here, ahimsa, beginning with ahimsa, satyam, asayam, akama krodha lobhada, buddha priyahide, hacha, dharmoyam, sarvavarnija. He is saying like that. Yeah. So, why is he saying like that? It is through mulyam that you will develop bhakti. You will strengthen your bhakti through mulyam, not through acharam. And it is with mulyam values, chitta shuddhi will happen. And it is through mulyam bhakti will develop. Chitta shuddhi means bhakti. Bhakti will come from that. And only then your mind will get fixed up in Krishna. So now Krishna is going to say this thing in the, if we look further down in the 18th chapter, he will say this again in a different way. You have to think about what Krishna is saying, you know, and then you will know that to understand and appreciate what he is saying. If you look into last verse in the next chapter, 11:18:48, he's saying there, Edate abhihitam sadho bhavan prachadi yachamam yada so dharma samyukto bhakto mam samiyat param. He's saying that with bhakti, if you execute the dharma, and he says, dharma samyukto bhakto mam samiyat param. Bhakti will come from dharma. Bhakti will come from dharma. So Krishna has given important to bhakti more than to dharma. He links bhakti to dharma. Bhakti to dharma. And dharma depends on the mulyam, values. So this is the reason that because this dharma has gone, mulyam has gone, that is why in the modern world there is so much of kriya kalava bhakti is going on. But actual bhakti is not developing in people's heart. That bhakti is not developing. Why? The reason is this. Mulyams have gone in life. You can see that very explicitly the way big people are behaving, even in spiritual societies, how they behave. If you observe that, you have to judge it impartially from these things, based on the Shastram. If you look at them, you will see that they have lost mulyams. Mulyams have gone. And they have taken up all the leadership position roles and all that. But at the same time, it's not. And then they are saying that the disciples are not making progress and this, that and the other. How will they make progress when they themselves don't have any mulyams? Desire for propaganda, for name and fame, publicity, and to feel that you are saving the world. This is not spiritual qualities. This is typical mundane qualities in people. And when you see all that, you can see that they've lost it. Mulyams have gone from their life. So, anyway, not trying to criticize anybody, but these things must be spoken. Otherwise, people won't understand that things should be seen through the Shastram, what Krishna is saying, right? So Krishna is saying here that the dharmam al-bhakti yukta. So whatever that helps to develop bhakti in the heart, that is dharma. That thing that develops bhakti in the heart is dharma. And the thing that develops bhakti in the heart is, that dharmam is mulyam, is based on mulyams. Values, not based on the acharya. So, in Kali Yuga, dharmam stands on these four legs, as we say, satyam, shaucham, daya, tapas, right? And Krishna said that it is on based on that the dharmam will be in Kali Yuga. Satyam, Shaujam, Daya, Tapasa. So, previously, there was no dharmam which was very much influenced by Acharya. Acharya Bahulam, it's called. That means a lot of dharmam. When too much acharam comes in dharmam, then it is called achara bahulam. Complete full of acharam. In some communities you will find that too much acharam is there, but no values there. You see? So, this we are now talking about Satyugam. In Satyugam, Kratayugam, acharams were not there. It was all value based, mulya based. Yeah. So everything was mulyam based, and that was its beauty. When you put the acharams into society, what happens? Mulyam slowly started becoming second place. It comes to second place. It should be mulyam based, value based. So in Kratayugam, the benefit was there wasn't much acharam. More stress was on the mulyam. People valued it more for the mulyams, right? In modern world, acharam runs more. Everywhere you find a lot of acharam goes on. Mulyams have gone completely from the society. So, and if you follow that way, and only if you have that mulyams inside, you will be able to focus and concentrate in meditation. Dhyanam will happen inside properly. So, when we moved from Kratayugam to Tretayugam, when that shift happened, what happened was karmam comes in. When karmam comes in, acharams will also come more. More acharam will come. Because people have lost their faith in the values, in the mulyam based. So this karma jadilam, it's called. Karma jadilam means full of karma, involved with karma. Yagam, yajnam, homam, all kind of things came in Tretayugam, right? So compared to that Tretayugam, with lot of karmam involved, the people in Kratayugam were superior people. Because they had value-based life. They didn't have karmam, and they were value-based people, so therefore meditation was better for them. They were able to absorb their mind and focus on the self-realization more than the people in the Tretayugam. Tretayugam people, by now, people have lost it. They have lost that faith in the shastram, faith in the values. Mulyams have gone, gradually it was deterioration started. And then when people have come to that state, this yagam yajnam got required at that time to get them focused in spiritual path. So that's how yajnam and yagam and all came in Tretayugam. So, and it became more and more sophisticated. Karma jadilam, they call it. Karma jadilam means this worshipping process has becoming more and more complicated, in other words. So dharmam, which is based on acharam, more than that, importance is dharmam based on mulyam. Mulyadhishthitam. Mulyadhishthitam means value-based. Value-based dharma, right? For achara-based mulyams, achara-based dharma, even if something goes wrong there, something goes down in that, nothing serious going to happen. If in your acharam, don't follow it rigidly, or some fall down happens in acharam, it's not serious issue. But in mulyam, if you may fall down, then it's serious. That's the important point to realize it here, right? So, because if mulyam goes away, it means your bhakti will be affected. Your bhakti will be affected. And no matter whatever acharam you follow, If your mulyam has gone, bhakti will be gone. No matter what acharam you follow, you may be very good in acharam, but in mulyam you have fallen. That means your bhakti has gone. So, that is why Sri Narada Maharshi said in the 7th canto, that 32 things, what is spoken there. Right? So, so that Krishna has summarized that 32 from there in this 21st verse, in 5. The 32, he took it off and made this 5 very minimum, he said, one should have. If 32 is there, it's best. But at least the 5 minimum, he said. Right? Then after that, Krishna is going to talk about ashrama dharmam now. Till now, varna dharmam was spoken. So we understood what varna dharma means, isn't it? How varna dharma has come about? Based on sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, what we discussed yesterday. That sattugunam dominated, rajogunam less behind brahmana. Rajogunam dominates, sattugunam behind is kshatriya. Rajogunam dominates, tamogunam behind vaishya. Tamogunam dominates, rajogunam behind is shudra. That's all. That's how they are, based on the gunams, right? And then these qualities, 32 qualities, mulyam, required in varnashrama dharmam, Sri Narada Maharshi said that, and Krishna said at least this 5 minimum is required. So with this varna dharmam, practically you understand how varna dharmam is coming from, where varnam is coming from. Then ashrama dharmam, Krishna is going to talk about it now onwards, right? I told you before that ashrama dharmam is for liberation. Varna dharmam is for abhyudayam, your life in this world. That's where, because following varna dharmam, you develop bhakti. Ashrama dharmam is the sadhana what you perform for liberation. Ashrama dharmam. Didiyam prapyanu purvya, janmo ubanayanam dija, vasan gurugule dando, brahma dhiyada chahuta. Verse 22. So ashrama dharma begins from that. At different stages in life, brahmachari, grahastha, vanaprastham, sannyasam, how to get our bhakti stronger every stage, to develop more and more bhakti. And that dharma what you have to execute in each of these stages, brahmachari, grahastham, vanaprastham, sannyasam, that is called ashrama dharma. And the first one is brahmachari. Now, you see how varnashrama dharmam came to this world? Krishna said, maya srishtam. When he says like that, doesn't mean that he came personally and told that I am starting varnashrama dharmam today. No. These thoughts were given to the rishis from Krishna, generated these thoughts in their heart. And the rishis established that. That's how varnashrama dharmam came. Rishis established varnashrama dharmam. Krishna didn't personally come and establish it. He gave these ideas to the rishis from inside. Antaryami gave the ideas. And they also discussed among themselves and they have instituted this varnashrama dharmam wave and wave in Satyugam itself. Not even Krishna's time. Krishna came in the end of Dwaparayugam. But from Satyugam this is existing. So you can see that varnashrama dharmam has become more mobilized different times by the rishis. So, it is the student stage, is it not? Brahmachari life. And from the viewpoint of Dharma Shastram, a student during his Brahmachari life, he has no business, no other business except acquiring knowledge. Vidyarthi is the word for that, isn't it? One who is looking for vidya, vidyarthi. You know what goes on now? All political parties, they have made unions. Communists have done, Congress has done, BJP has done. All of them has formed student communities, brought them into their fold. And they have injected politics into students' mind. And they have allowed them to form these things in the university and the students have already started politics in the college level, school level and college level. In schools also, they have these different groups. All political parties have their affiliated student groups, right? And these leaders, future leaders, they start learning this from that day itself. This is against the Shastra. Shastram says Vidyarthi means you shouldn't be doing anything else except studying, acquiring the knowledge for a proper life in this world. Right? So that is what Krishna is saying here. And then Dijasya Acharya Sevanam. Didiyam Prapyane Purvya Janmo Upanayanam Dvija Vasan Gurugule Dando Brahmadiyida Chahuta. And then his duty in the strictly traditional way, that he was supposed to serve the Acharya or the Guru, and from the Acharya he has to acquire the knowledge, and that is Brahmachari's dharma, right? All his capacity, power, both his physical, mental, intellectual, everything should be used for acquiring knowledge as a student. Yeah, and he should work very hard for that, and lifestyle should be very pure habits, and this is a dharmam of a vidyarthi or a brahman in the modern times. If you look at it, it's supposed to be like this, but then these leaders, politicians, they've gone and polluted them also. They shouldn't be allowed to have political parties meetings in the universities. You see everywhere now the same thing. America also is the same. America, of course, it didn't have that before. But I'm saying that this Palestine thing is a big issue in all the universities there, is it not? This is not acceptable from the Shastram point of view. In India also the same thing. In all the universities you find Congress has got its own students' union. Communists have got their own students' union. Then BJP has got its own students' union. And like this, so one starts and the others also starts, and most of the leaders nowadays have come through them, worked their way up through that into politics. Once they finish, these people, they don't study anything. They just go there, clock in the morning, and throughout the day they are busy with their politics, organizing, mobilizing different political ideologies into the people's mind. And then fighting each other between different student groups. And then police get involved, beating them up. All these things are regular business, regular affair going on in the universities everywhere now. It has become like that, yeah? So you can see how things have gone, how far it has gone away, right? The politics comes in when, say, there is four problems in the society, social problems, right? Different types of problems in the society. It is not the responsibility of the students to solve it. It's not their problem. Their business is to study and to acquire the knowledge. Instead, they get involved in all social issues now. Anything related to society, they get involved. They shouldn't be. Students shouldn't get involved in the social issues, right? Because acquiring knowledge is only possible when you are in that age. Student days, that's the time when you can acquire knowledge properly, right? And you can get involved in the social problems later also, right? And because normally they say they are fighting for justice, against injustice they are fighting. Who? The students. And in that age, when you say things like values, they'll get very fired up easily and they'll get into fighting and arguing and all kinds of things. Agitations and all. And so involving in the social issues and fighting against injustice and all that, all these things is not the job of a student, right? That is the responsibility of the citizens. Not student is not considered as a citizen as such. Student is not. He is in that age when he has to acquire knowledge. At that time, he shouldn't be involved in that. So, when Brahmachari becomes a citizen, and when he gets married and become a grahastha, then he becomes a citizen. Till then he is not. Till then he is not, right? Brahmachari does not have citizenship. Now we want to bring it down to 16, isn't it? 14 or something, like, I don't know, 18 to 16 I think, they're trying to make it like that. So you can see, when you don't have proper shastram to guide people, then people will think what suits them, they will do. Because if you can get more votes and your party can get back into power again, they will do anything and everything. No values anymore, that I'm saying. Value based, gone. All values gone now. So, student has only one thing to do, education. Because that's the only time in life where you can learn things properly. Afterwards, it's very difficult when you get older. So, therefore, he is not allowed to involve in any social problem, social injustice and things like that. His main responsibility is to acquire knowledge and study and learn things, right? So, so these problems of the social issues, social problems, you can learn that later on, right? And you may discuss these things among yourself and discuss with the teachers, but to give up education time for the student's life and getting involved in this political struggle, you know what goes on in Columbia University and Harvard and all these places, even here also, the students getting involved in this Palestine issue and getting involved in agitation, this is not right thing to do. They shouldn't be allowed for this, right? They shouldn't be doing this. Anyway, it is against Brahmachari's dharma. That's all I can say. It's against Brahmachari's dharma, right? And so, destroying your education and turning into these kind of things shouldn't happen. That's all it means, right? And when there were famous universities at one time, like Nalanda, Takshashila and all that, they were very particular about these things. They didn't encourage such things, right? And the history says that in those days, thousands of students went to those universities also, and they were educated, but the kings also who ruled then, they gave thousands of acres of land for these universities to function properly. And and even the wealthy people did that. Yeah. So mainly they taught about agriculture and the science. These were the two important things they were teaching them. But apart from that, mainly they were teaching them about agriculture. Agriculture means that how to become independent, self-sustaining, able to grow food. Yeah. And agriculture was practiced by the teachers and the students together. Practically they were taught how to grow food, in other words. And they produce their own food. The students and the teachers together, they produce the food what they needed. And similarly, protection of the cows. Because economy means, Prabhupada said this many times, economy means these two things, cow protection and agriculture. If your economy is based on these things, there will be no corruption, he said. But if your economy is based on all the other nonsense, there will be corruption, there will be war, he said, at the end. So you see how rishis thought through these things. When Varnashramam brought in, they understood how to keep the society in a peaceful state always. So cow protection and agriculture. If they are your basics of economy, that economy won't crash and that economy won't create war. any other economy based on anything else will end up in war. Because all other economy will turn into sense gratification. And this is what Prabhupada's ideas were. This is what he was saying, that you develop communities on this basis. He said, I'm giving you the ideas, it's up to you to do it. But so they are important. Why? Because cow production supplies everything what you require for the sacrifices. Yogurt, milk, butter, cheese, ghee, everything. Panchagavyam, all comes from that. And the students were trained how to do this properly. How to protect the cows and how to produce these items from the cows, right? And how to behave themselves. Similarly, growing food, cooking, kitchen, work, all these things were taught to the people. For the brahmacharis were taught all these things, right? Practical experience. And this is all in the recorded history of those days. Apparently, in them days, if you have seen a young man, from his behavior you could know whether he was educated in Nalanda or Takshashila, those universities. From their lifestyle, you could know that. And and many, many students from all over the country went to those universities, got educated, and went back to their own villages after that, right? So what the rishis spoke about Varnashrama Dharmam, that system of education, even in the university level, they followed that. Value-based and economic development on these values like that. Yeah. So, then this Nalanda and Takshashila universities, they came into existence when Lord Buddha's disciples started them, actually. Buddha Bhikshus, they started them. Vedic times was purely guru and disciple, Gurukulam system. Gurukulam system existed before Buddhism came in, Lord Buddha came. Before that, Gurukulam system existed. When Lord Buddha came and left, gone, Buddhism became popular everywhere. And Buddhist Bhikshus, they started this university thing. They were more into organizations. The first organized religion is Buddhism. Not Christianity, not Islam. Buddhism it is. And then came Christianity and then came Islam. But before that there was no organized religion. It was this Varnashrama Dharma system. And brahmacharis trained as in Gurukulam with the guru in that way. So then they had the Upanayanam ceremony as brahmachari at the age, latest by 8 years old. And he was brought in close to the guru and by the father. So that ceremony, what happens when the father brings a child, 8 year old child, to the guru, right? And it has changed now also. The Upanayanam ceremony also has changed quite a bit, right? And so depending on, in them days, whichever Veda tradition you have come, if you come in the Rig Veda tradition or Yajurvedam or Samayedam tradition, right? And there are rules associated with that, yeah? Rigvedis, there have certain rules. Who can perform Upanayanam ceremony? If it is a Yajurvedi, then his uncle or grandfather cannot perform the Upanayanam for him, for the Yajurvedis, right? Say, if a Rigvedi traditional child, traditionally coming from the Rigveda tradition, if a child comes, and if a if a grandfather or uncle gives Subhadayanam, conducts his Subhadayanam ceremony, he will become a Yajurvedi then. So there were a lot of issues like this, right? This Upanayanam ceremony is the foundation of Vedic education, basically. Yeah, he is supposed to wear the kaubinam, and and there's a books available on that, Ashwalayanam, Bhauta Sutram, all these things. So while they select the guru whom they are going to, they have to look into these rules also. Who should be the guru? I don't know how far this is followed these days, because there are rules, traditionally there are rules associated with that. Yeah. Then after the education, Samavartanam ceremony is there. And it is after Samavartanam he gets married. He is given the permission after Samavartanam. He can choose whether to get married or wants to become, go, remain as a brahmachari in that way. So, based on the Vedam which they are following, whichever Vedam they follow, Rigvedam, Yajurvedam or Samavedam, kriyas will change. The rituals associated with that will be different for Upanayanam ceremony also. And therefore, they allow to take him to the qualified guru for that. Many places nowadays, what happens, the father does the ceremony. Because of society has changed so much, there is no gurus there anymore, and in whom they have faith. So father himself does the ceremony, right? Upanayanam is also the time when you Gayatri is given. To the Gayatri mantram, right? Also pranavam, om. So one who has got this pranavam, Gayatri, upadesham, only that person he can study Vedam, otherwise not, right? And he only is qualified to perform yajnam, yagam and all that. Only one who has pranavam as well as Gayatri. And he is taken to the guru, and he is accepted as a disciple, and then he is given these two things, pranava and Gayatri, and all the rituals associated with that. Upanayana Kriya, they call it. Only such a person who has done through all these things, if he studies Vedam or engages in Vaidika Karmam, he will be accepted in the society, right? So, prior to this Upanayanam ceremony, there were other samskarams, right? There's a book available telling you all the samskarams. There are 42 samskarams for the Brahmana, 42 of them. Starting from Garbhadhanam, Pumsavanam, Simandam, Chaulam, like that, Namakaranam, Annaprashanam, like that, one after the other, right? There's hardly anybody doing that these days. So, if those samskarams are important in a child's life, yeah? So, you can read those samskarams, what does that mean? So, you can see that the samskarams makes a person, becomes eligible for a proper life, yeah? So, only one who has done all the samskaram ceremonies before Upanayanam, only such a person should be given Gayatri and the pranavam and should be initiated, right? Should be into. So it's very rigid they were, them days, right? Then there is things to be done at the time of pregnancy, when the mother is pregnant, and after the child is born, Jatakarmam, Pumsavanam, then mother has to have so many ceremonies, Garbhareksha, Simandam. These are all different names, right? And that is for the first child born from the mother. And Pumsavanam. When mother is pregnant, all the women must have. There are interesting stories about all these things. There was one Uddanda Shastri in Tamil Nadu. He was very highly learned person, right? So but the problem with him was, them days the kings were ruling. This Uddanda Shastri will go to the assembly of all the kings. And the kings used to conduct big assemblies of all the scholars, Vedic scholars, right? And if Uddanda Shastri comes, he will defeat everybody. Uddanda Shastri was his name. So he went on and on and on. And them days, there were so many kingdoms. Is it not? In Kerala, we had 3 kingdoms. Tamil Nadu had many kingdoms. Similarly, in Karnataka also. And in the north also. So many kingdoms were there. So all these kings used to do that. They will always invite scholars to come. So there was always discussion about Shastram in the assembly of scholars. And the king will be a participant of that. And whoever wins the debate, and they will bring some issue from Upanishads or Puranam something, and it will be put in for the topic for discussion. Shastra Sadasa, they call it. So, so these learned people, learned Brahmanas, who are learned in the Shastram, they are good, intelligent people, so they will go for this. And if they win, they will get plenty of money, gold, Veera Shrankara they call it, and then land will be given to them freely from the king, and jewels and things like that. So they'll become, that's a good way of earning wealth in that way. But that was not for that they went. They wanted that recognition of their scholarship, right? So this Uddanda Shastri used to go everywhere and beat everybody in everywhere. He was so good at it. Knowledge of the Shastram and capacity to present it, and the memory power. And nowadays you have got all the you don't have to remember anything now. Everything is, but them days you have to remember everything. And it is difficult to remember all the Shastrams and able to pull out things when you need, when you are debating these things, right? So this didn't, he became so popular. And these, you know, Nambudris are one sect of the Brahmanas, right? They were feeling very bad about it, that every time Uddanda Shastri comes and takes over everything from them, they don't get anything. So they decided that they should have one child somewhere whom they will do all the samskarams to the best possible way and take care of the mother and the child throughout the period of pregnancy. And they did it very well. And this, what they did was, every day, 1,000 times they chanted Gayatri with the ghee in the hand to Lord Shiva. And that ghee alone was given to the mother. Mother was taking this ghee all the time. And that continued throughout the pregnancy. Even it started before the conception itself. Before the child was conceived, it started. All the way through the pregnancy, he was given this, mother was given the key, and the child was born. There was a lot of other things. They protected the mother from all other influences. So when the child grows, he comes out with good metha shakti, in other words. Yeah. So the child was born, right? And they knew that this child, when he grows up, he will have the brain or the power to beat any scholar. To such an extent, they brought him up. Deliberately they did this. And when the child grew up, when the mother was feeding the prasadam to the child, crows used to come, right? All the crows look similar, is it not? You won't be able to distinguish one crow from the other, because they all look similar, same color and same form. But this child will tell the mother, this crow came yesterday, and this crow came today, is different from that crow. He was able to even differentiate between the crows by looking at them. By looking at them, he was able to differentiate the crows and say that, yeah? So they knew that it has worked with the child. And the child grew up, and by the age of 16, he came into this field of debates. And he is the first one. The Travancore kingdom, Uddanda Shastri came there. he got defeated by this child, 16-year-old child. Uddanda Shastri himself congratulated him for his knowledge and for his that Medha Shakti in him, seeing that. And he became a great devotee afterwards, Shiva. And then he's got a lot of books he wrote. He wrote so many things, and he wrote some commentary on Bhagavatam as well. But them days nothing was published. It was all lost in the... It was written in a way suitable for the people who lived at that time. Not in the modern way. And that too in Sanskrit language. So not many people will... Publicity won't come from that. So what I'm saying is that Upanayanam and how to produce children with such good spiritual knowledge and spiritual power and spiritual tendencies, you have to start from the beginning. Not after going to all this education system, the modern education, and you start spiritual, you will ask all hundreds of questions, that's all. If you send the child to this modern education, and then you try to give him spiritual life, all he will do is, he will come and make your life hell with millions of questions. He will ask. That's what is the end result of this. Whereas this child, they won't ask anything because already the seed has been planted while in the womb of the mother itself. So it has to start from the beginning at that time, not at the later date. It's so important that is. Yeah. So here, so all these samskaram is for that purpose. That's the importance of this samskaram. If we want to create learned, knowledgeable people in Shastram and who have control of mind and senses and spiritually in an elevated stage, if you want to have children like that, you have to start from the beginning. Prahlada said the same thing. Kaumara acharet prajna dharmam bhagavadaniha. Bhagavata dharmam should start from that, not late at the age after retirement. Oh, now we'll have a look at Bhagavatam. What does it say? What is God to say? What can you do? Durlabham manushan janmam tadapya dhromartadam. So his vyaktitvam, personality, comes from that time, what you have given him at that time. That's when his personality comes. You see, personality development has to be there, not now. Now you're trying to do personality development to people, but it's too late. Already all the crooked things have gone in. What personality can you develop now? So personality development is at that stage with those samskarams, what you do at that time. That's where it develops personality, right? And it has to, so by the age of 8, a lot of things have already happened in his life. By the age of 8. 8 is the age when he gets the Upanayanam ceremony done. So, and Upanayanam can be done anywhere, anytime between 8 and 15, they say. But generally people do it at 8 years old. if you have not done the Upanayanam ceremony by 15 years old, you are excommunicated from the society. So sometimes what happened was, in order to do all that, the father is required. Father may not be at home. He may have gone away somewhere. Something happens in life, right? So if he is not there, then he will be known by the gotram in which he has come. Achyuta gotram, Kashyapa gotram, Bharadwaja gotram, all the rishis' names. Different gotram, Vasishtha gotram, Vishwamitra gotram. Under the different rishis, different gotrams have come. Then, only if the father comes back, you can give the name-giving ceremony can happen. So, otherwise, he will be known as the same gotram where his father was born. He will be known by the same gotram. Anyway, all these are important based on the Varnashrama Dharma system, right? Then you have Namakaranam, Annaprashanam, Chudakarmam, then Karnavedham. All this, after that only Upanayanam comes. So before Upanayanam, so many other ceremonies to be done. it is at this stage the father takes him to the guru for spiritual education, right? And guru teaches him Pranavam and Gayatri. And then he starts education of studying the Vedam, particular Vedam. So, so that is what Krishna has spoken here. Brahmadhida cha huta. Cha. Cha refers to that. Yeah. Chakaram means, cha huta means not only studying Vedam, the understanding of the Vedam. Artha vicharam. Artha vicharam means what does this all mean? Not just reciting the Vedam, even studying the understanding the Vedam also should happen. Krishna says there. Vasan Gurugule Dando Brahmadhida Chahuda. Brahmadhida Chahuda. Then and whatever Vedam he comes from, the boy comes from, Rigvedam or Yajurvedam, whatever it may be, and he has to study the mantram of the Vedam. Then he has to study the Brahmanam of the Vedam. Then the Aranyakam and then the Upanishad. All for the Rigvedam. He has to go through his education, right? That's why it takes such a long time. So if he comes to at 8 years, he starts education. Probably by the time he leaves, it will be 24, 25. By then, he has gone through that particular branch of Vedam, Rigvedam, Mantram, Brahmanam, Aranyakam, Upanishad. He has to go through all that. That is what is Veda Dhyanam, Vedic education means, right? And then, he lives at Gurukulam, and his lifestyle at that time is that he has to see his teacher, Guru, as Ishwara, not different from him. Such a respectful relationship they had, right? And serving him, and he learns Vedam with Artham, with the meaning. Artha Vicharam, it's called. Artha Vicharam, he has got all questions, he will be answered by the Guru, and Guru will make sure that he is fully equipped with the knowledge of that particular branch of the Vedam, right? And so that is how Vedic education was as a brahmachari, what Krishna is saying here. And then he said that Mekhala while being educated with the Guru, this artham, studying, understanding the meaning of all that, what does it all mean, right? If you have not the understood the meaning of the or the subtle side of it, right, then you won't be able to execute your dharmam properly. If you have not understood the subtle aspects of the knowledge of the Vedam, right? Because Mantram, Brahmanam, Aranyakam, Upanishad, they all have their own subtle side also to understand. And that has to be explained by a qualified person, so that he doesn't pick up wrong understanding of things. You can see Rishi's way of doing things is so different. They were very subtle people. Yeah, everything what they wrote, what they spoke, we are so gross, only if it is spoken in the gross way we will understand. And they are only used to saying things in a subtle way. In Bhagavad Gita also you can see the same problem. You will read, and if you start taking everything on literally way, you will find it very difficult, right? I can give you so many examples in the Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, I was saying the other day that verse after the Ananyashindayandoma, the next verse, if you read that, you will get one understanding. But if you see the explanation from the acharyas on that, you realize that how how deep that verse is, what he has spoken. Yeah. Similarly, if you look in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, there is a verse there, Bhaktyartun Anyaya Shakya, Aham Evam Vidha Arjuna, Nyadum Drishtinja Tatvena, Praveshtinja Parantapa, he says. At the very end of the 11th chapter, one or two verses before. Last but one, I think. Bhaktyartun Anyaya Shakya, Aham Evam Vidha Arjuna, Nyadum Drishtinja Tatvena, Praveshtinja Parantapa. Krishna said like that, yeah? You can read the translation in the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada kept it very simple like that. Prabhupada saying that, you can understand. And the word used is praveshtanja parandava. He can enter into me. Krishna is saying like that. What does that entry mean? Krishna is saying, if you have developed a bhakti, ananya bhakti, what Krishna is talking about. Ananya bhakti. Bhaktyana ananya shakya. Aham evam Arjuna. Then aham. Yeah. Then you have known that. You have seen it. And then Krishna is saying, Jnanam drishteja tattvena praveshtanja. Then you have to know the tattvam, he says. And once you have known the tattvam, you can enter into me. What that entry thing, what that means, is not very clear in that. What the entry means. Yeah. Every verse you take in the Bhagavad Gita, you will find like this, so many things hidden inside. Rishis won't say to you, Sarvadharman Bharitaji, another verse. We are all thinking, oh, give up everything and surrender unto me. But Sarvadharman Bharitaji's explanation, if you see from Paramacharya, you will find it very interesting. How he has elaborated on that to make us understand it's not so simple as we think, this Sarvadharman Bharitaji. But generally you can say to people, for ordinary people you can say like that, Sarvadharman Bharitaji, you surrender unto Krishna. In an ordinary level, it is right, it's not wrong. But what is that Sarvadharman Bharitaji means, which we discussed when we discussed that 18th chapter, that verse. So, like that, so many verses, Krishna is saying that way, and that's where rishis are. Mekhalachinadandaksham, Brahmasutram kamandalu, Jadilo athaudadadvaso, Arakthapeda kushanthadad. He is not allowed to massage the body with oil. Always he should have matted hair. He should even avoid brushing the teeth. And he should not get used to anything which is making life very comfortable, bodily comforts. Brahmachari life, if one has practiced it, that austere lifestyle, it says here, then so many things it is mentioned here. Jadilam, I don't know the English words for all that. The Adhaudham, he says, one is a certain kind of a rope they make, which they tie down. And then the deer skin to wear, pipala trees rod, brahmachari dandam, and he should have the chanting beads, brahmasutram, and water pot, and darbha he should wear. This is his dress. No t-shirt with Rajavidya, Rajagokhyam and all that. Not allowed. Nowadays brahmacharis have got all that, Rajavidya, Rajagokhyam t-shirt. So that's how we are now. So look at what Krishna is saying. Brahmachari is not allowed to have any kind of bodily, he does not do anything for the body. In other words, in the beginning itself, if you pull out that bodily identity, that attachment for bodily identification, then it won't come in so easily later on in life. Yeah. So that's the idea behind it. Thinking about the body, that should be avoided at that stage itself. That's all it means, right? This verse is for that, to make a person free from bodily identification. And Meghala, Krishnajinam, and then Krishnajinam is worn like the ordinary Poonanul, Satharana, that what we wear here, right? Brahmin thread, as called now. Brahmin thread. then deer skin, and then he has got this pot, Yajnobavidam, Kamandalu, water pot. This Kamandalu he should have always, especially if he is traveling somewhere, you should have the water pot with him. He should only use the water that is in the pot, only through the water pot, right? Matted hair, jada, important. Never to cut the hair. Then, he should tie it down and then, you know, how they do? Like a round it up and then tie it up on the top. He should not be very concerned about cleaning the teeth. He should clean it, but not very particular that he should have the only some. Yeah, all those things, right? Similarly, he shouldn't iron his clothes. He should be satisfied with the washing the clothes, but not ironing them. He should not sit on a throne or kind of comfortable cushions and things like that. He is allowed to sit on a wooden plank or wooden seat, but not anything comfortable, more than that, right? And thinking about his own body, he should be kept very minimum in such a way that he doesn't think about his own body so much, right? And decoration of the body. And doesn't mean that he has to wear all dirty clothes, and he should wear clean clothes. Similarly, he can brush the teeth, wash the mouth, but that shouldn't become the everything. You know, some people become very, in other words, he doesn't have to go to a dentist all the time. And, you know, eating all the chocolate, then they become addicted to that, then they run to the dentist. Those things were not there at that time. So then Darbha grass, and because Darbha is required while studying Vedam, Darbha should be in the hand. And they have a way of, you can see if you look at the videos, when they study Vedam, how the young boys, how they sit, and they still follow that to some extent. In Brahma Samhara I have seen that how the children sit and study that, and the teachers also. All this is while studying Vedam. These are important for Brahmachari, right? So following these things, Meghala Jina Dandaksha Brahma Sutra Kamandalu. Then Jadilo Adhoda Advaso Arakta Peta Kushantathat. It is for the Brahmachari stage, try to keep him as much as possible from bodily identity. That's the idea behind that, yeah. Then he is saying here that the snanam, bhojanam, homam, japam, uchareja, vagyada, na chindya, nakaromani, kucho vasta gadanyavi. Bathing, eating, performing homam, chanting the japam, going to the toilet, while doing all these things, he should be silent. He should be silent, right? And he shouldn't cut his nails or shave his hair anywhere all over the body. Body hair should be allowed to grow freely everywhere in the body. Then, so, bathing, eating, sandhyavandanam, while doing all these things, he should be silent. Krishna is saying he should be silent. Even while going to toilet, and no shaving allowed. And he should not pass a semen under any circumstances, right? If sometimes it can happen that vasanas inside you don't know what has come from previous lives, right? Even though you may live a lifestyle like this, there is chances that always at that age, when they are into the teenagers, from the childhood to the boyhood comes, when these things start building up in the body, you know, for reproductive semen builds up in the body, without his knowledge, it may come in the night, right? So due to vasanas inside, that means it will come in the dream and then he will pass semen in the night. If that happens, he should get up straight away and bathe first and then perform pranayamam and 108 times chant Gayatri straight away. He should do that, right? Sometimes they say minimum they should chant 108, but normally they have even done 1000 Gayatri. If that happens, that is how valuable for them. If you leave semen, for a brahmachari loses a semen, his metha shakti goes away. Metha shakti goes away. And therefore, due to, not in this life, he has not associated with other girls or anything, but due to some vasana hidden inside in the chittam from previous life, if it is there, it may come out in the dream. And then he may lose semen. And if he loses semen like that, then he should immediately get up, bathe, and then chant pranavam, Gayatri. They are saying 1000 times Gayatri. He should chant to compensate for that. So, can you imagine a child today, this all these things? Agnyar kacharya go vipra, guru vriddha suran shuchi, samahidam upasidam, sandhyaja yadavag jaman. How you honor different people. Through homam, you honor Agni, homam. Through arghyam, you honor sun. And through service, you honor the acharya. And through grass, you honor the cows. And by offering obeisances, you honor brahmanas and the parents and all the other respectable people. And then you should worship the old people and the devadas without any duplicity. And in the sandhya times, three times, he should perform sandhya vandanam and all the other kriyas associated with that. So, he should be silent, maunam, silent, during the upasana times, then performs Gayatri. While performing Sandhyavandanam, he should be very quiet. He shouldn't speak to anybody. Maunavratam. And the middle day Sandhyavandanam. Sandhyavandanam is in the morning, middle of the day, and in the evening. The one in the middle of the day is not very compulsory. But the morning and the evening one, compulsory for them. And the both times, 1000 times Gayatri in the morning, 1000 times Gayatri in the evening. Right, and middle day you can chant for 10 times Gayatri. You can reduce that. Right, the Sandhyavandanam of the middle day is not given much importance, like the one in the morning and the one in the evening. The one in the morning most important. The one in the evening is also equally important, but the middle one during the middle of the day is not given much importance. Right, and that is. What Krishna is saying here also, that he says that the vidhi is trisandhya, all the three sandhyas, right? But for any reason, if any discrepancy have happened in your daily practices, very rigid they were, very, very rigid rules they had. And you know what? Paramacharya says, because this Nambudiri sect of Brahmins, they followed it so rigidly, that is why Lord Shiva took birth in them. He says in that voice of God, you can read that. They were so rigid, so heavy with the children, that no leniency in these rules, following the rules. He said they followed at that time so rigidly. Therefore, Lord Shiva decided to take birth in them, in their, one of their families. the Shiva Guru and Aryamba, they came from that family. And you can see at the age of 8, a child to feel like self-realization, imagine how that could happen in a child. And this was the reason behind it. They were so rigid in that, in educating children as a brahmachari, and same thing with householder life also, they were like that. But all that's gone now. Now because they also become going to, they would never go to America or Europe before from their villages. But now, and if somebody has gone like that, if ever anybody has gone, they used to look at them as though they have done the greatest crime in the life of leaving the village and going to the, crossing the sea, they say. Crossing the sea. If you have crossed the sea, that means you are actually excommunicated from the society. That is how the society was rigid then, in them days. Now everybody is waiting for the ticket and the visa to go. That's how it is, you see. That rigidity helped a lot to produce such children who had that spiritual strength in them. You can read that in the voice of God, he's saying this. That that sect of brahmanas, they followed this so rigidly, he says, it's not surprising at all Lord Shiva decided to take birth in them. And and you can read in their history also that by the age of 8 he has mastered all the Vedam and he was able to debate with others. And then he wanted to see his guru, walked all the way from Kaladi to Madhya Pradesh, to Narmada River bank, to see the guru. Walking all the way from there to here at the age of 8 without anyone else with him. So imagine that spiritual urge in that child. We say he's Lord Shiva, but he was also like a human being, like anybody else. But to have that mind like that, to so strong with the Shastram, and the faith in the Vedam was so strong, that is how he brought the Vedam back into life again. After the Karmakandam and the Buddhism wiped out and brought Vedam back into power again. So you have to have some personality like that, yeah. Anyway, so these rules are important. It's not that they are not important. If you follow them, you will have children like that, with that kind of spiritual strength inside, right? Then he says, next verse, if you look, very famous verse, right? Acharyamam vijaniyam, nava manyeda karhechil, namartya buddhya asuyeda, sarvam devamayo guru. This is a famous verse, this one. He says, Acharyamam vijaniyam, nava manyeda karhechit, namartya buddhya asuyeda, sarva devamayo guru. Krishna is saying that one who is giving you spiritual knowledge, Atma Vidyan, that Acharya is not different from me. You should think of him as not different from Krishna, right? Under any circumstances, you should not offend him. You should not think that he is an ordinary person and should not find fault in him, fault finding, right? Because all demigods are supposed to be present in the Guru. Sarva devamayo guru, says there. Yeah? Yeah. Namartya buddhya asu yeda sarva devamayo guru. All devadas are present in him, and because he is a brahmachari, is brahmam realized, guru is a brahmam realized, and therefore all brahmamsha bhudam they are, all the devadas, they are all present in him. That is the essential things he is saying there. Right? So, first thing Krishna says, that Acharya Mam Vijaniyam. You should see him as Krishna himself, and under any circumstances, you should not think of him as a human being. Nava Manyeda Karhechil. Never insult him or offend him in any way. All this discipline was there in their days. And even if he has spoken harshly to you, to a brahmachari, and spoke or felt offended by that, you should tolerate it, not to react to the situations. Vidvesham, hate, should not develop towards the guru. And you should think like this. Why he has chastised me? Why he has punished me? I have not understood. You should think like that. Sometimes teachers may punish you for something. You may not have understood what you have done wrong. But you should not hate him because of that. You should take it that he has punished me. Maybe I have not understood what it is. And that way you should tolerate it. That's what that Navamanyeda Karhachit means that. Yeah. Namartya Buddhya Asuyeda Sarva Devamayo Guru. So you should never think that he has punished you unfair way. It's not unfair thing what he has done. You have to have that kind of mindset. Not to feel grudge for that towards him, right? Under any circumstances. And he, as Krishna said there, envy or hate towards the guru should never happen. Because you should always think that Krishna says, it's me in that form. In that way it should be seen. Then, next verse. Swayam prata upaniyam bhaishyam tasmai nivedayat yachadyan apyanujnyadam ubayanjita samyataha. Morning and evening he should go out looking for bhiksha and collect food from homes, whatever bhiksha, and should come and offer it to the guru. And if guru gives him some food after cooking, and he is allowed to eat. If guru didn't give anything, he has to fast. So what guru has allowed, he can eat. If anyone gives something very special food, one special food, if he gives like that, and he should not think, oh, this is a nice one, let me have that. Rather, he should take it to the guru. And if guru gives it to you, you can have it, then you can have it. So that means to get the control of the tongue. Guru decides to control your tongue. Guru knows what is good for you, and he will not allow you to eat anything what you like. Rather, to have the control. Then, Shushrushamanam Acharyam Sadobhasida Nichavat Shana Shayasanam Shana Shayasana Sthanir Adi Dure Kridanjali. Always in front of the guru, he should sit, he should think he is lower than the guru, and with folded hands, he should serve guru all the time. When he travels, he should walk behind him. And while he is sleeping, he should sit at his feet. And if he is resting, he should massage his feet, guru's feet, right? And always you should be ready to take the instructions. You should be attentive. Whatever instructions he is going to give, to follow them, right? And you should stand there with folded hands, respectfully. And he should display his love for the guru and his bhakti for the guru. And they are all considered to be the symptoms of guru bhakti. Symptoms of guru bhakti, right? So, basically humility, teaching humility for the child, right? And he should never walk in front of the guru, should always walk behind, right? And while he sleeps, as he said, that he massages feet, and while guru is sitting down, he shouldn't sit down. And similarly, if the guru is sleeping, then he is allowed to sleep nearby, somewhere. And whenever guru calls him, he should wake up and he should be available for service straight away. In this way, guru shishrusha, right? And he should learn the shastram that way. Evam vritto guru gule vased bhoga vivarjidaha vidya samapide yavat vibrat vradam akhandidam. In this way, if you have a lifestyle like this, a brahmachari has a lifestyle like this, without any sense gratification, no gratification at all, and brahmachari life, if he continues, he should finish his brahmachari ashram with the guru in this way. So if you get a training like that, the chances of him falling down later is very little if he has a training like that as a brahmachari, because he never had any bodily comforts. What you have done is protected him from sense gratification. And that is the age when your mind, body, everything is craving for sense enjoyment. So if at that time, if you have denied that and you have prevented him in indulgence, in self, in indulgence, then he is safe later. He will be very safe. Chances of him getting corrupted later and falling down and all that is very little chances, right? Very little chances of that happening there. But if you didn't have that, then the chances are that you are likely to, vasanas have not been curbed at the right way, and therefore you are liable to fall later in the spiritual life. So that is the important thing, right? So always willing to serve the Guru and learn things from him. Evam mrutva vaset bhoga vivarjidaha vidya samapyade yavat vibhradvadam akhandidam. So samyamam. Samyamam means control of the senses, right? And and controlling the self, fully established in dharmam, and he should get educated in that way. Vedam and education, he will spend the time like that with him. Yadyasau chandasam logam arokshan brahma vishtapam gurave vinyase deham swadhyayartam brihad bradaha. What was spoken till now is all about brahmacharis have got two types, naishtika brahmachari and upagurvana. The two types, right? Naishtika brahmachari and upagurvana. Among brahmacharis there are these two types, right? So these dharma, what has been spoken till now, is all about upagurvana. The difference is, right, once he has studied Vedam, he has finished with brahmachari ashram, right? Now, some people, and then he is allowed to go and marry, if he wants to get married, right? So you can see that the restrictions are necessary in life. And if you have these restrictions, the chances of the children getting later on destroyed is very little then, if they have gone through this education system. That was the benefit of that. They won't go and do crazy things afterwards. Isn't it? You can understand that from the way they have been. You totally stop the child from exposed to sense enjoyment at that age. And then if he goes into household life, he will be very controlled. And he will follow the grihastha dharmam properly, if you had proper brahmachari life. Otherwise, like nowadays, grihastha, everybody wants to, waiting for that day to become a householder, both boys and girls. Look at everything what's going on. It really hurts people, how damaging it is, is it not? Anyway, upagurvanan means that brahmachari who had come through this system till now. Then what happens? Krishna is going to talk about naishtika brahmachari, one who is fully in brahmachari life. Right? That means he is going to live the whole life like a brahmachari. That is called a naishtika brahmachari. Never wants to go into householder life, worldly life, anything, nothing like that. He wants to remain this brahmachari tradition throughout. So, those who study Vedam, right, for them, they will, if they have a properly educated in the Vedam, after death, they will go to Brahmalokam, Lord Brahma's planet. And if you want that, you have to spend the whole life studying Vedam and practicing Vedam. You have to live that life, right? And this is a big, big decision. to not to get married and to study Vedam and understanding your knowledge of the Vedam better, which requires a lot of time, right? You have studied Vedam, right? But the understanding the meaning of the Vedam, that takes time. That takes time. Because there are so many subtle things in there. You may have to go to many different people who are called experts, scholars in that particular field of Vedam. And then from them you have to go and spend time with them to learn that. So all that requires whole life commitment. So those who can do that, they are these Naishthika Brahmacharis, right? And in that case, he says, you have to hand over your body to the Guru. And he may not leave Gurugulam at that age. Upakurvana will leave and go. Guru has taught him and he can go at home and get married and live as a householder, grahasthashram dharmam. But this Naishthika Brahmachari, he won't leave Gurugulam. He will stay with the Guru. And he has only one things to do in life. Guru Shishrusha, serving the Guru and studying Vedam. That's his life. For the rest of the life, he is going to do that. Yeah? So, that's what he is saying here. So, Upakurvanam Brahmachari. So, here, this Brahmachari, who wants to go to the higher planets, right? Wants to go to the higher planets, which includes Maharlogam, Janalogam, Tapolokam, Satyalokam. You can choose where you want to go. One of them, right? Otherwise, you can say Brahmalokam also. If you say Brahmalokam, it means others are covered in that because they are before you reach there. You go through this, right? So, Vedam, personified Vedas, are present in Brahmalokam. Brahma's planet, personified Vedas are present. So, if you are studying Vedam here, that means you are serving them here. Naturally, you are going to see them in person. All these personified Vedas, they are in Brahma's planet, right? And so, if you want to go to Brahmalokam, and if you have studied Vedam here, it is for that purpose. That you want to go to Brahmalokam and you want to meet this personified Vedas there, for that purpose you stay as a Naishthika Brahmachari. So you see the difference between Upakurvanan and Naishthika. Naishthika Brahmachari stays back with the Guru, studies Vedam and continues this Guru Shishrusha, service to the Guru throughout life, and then finally he leaves his body and he goes to Maharlokam and above. You can go. But in Brahmalokam, once you have gone to Maharlokam, the chances of coming back is not there. You are more or less on your way to the self-realization, yeah? So, Maharlokam, Janalokam, Tabolokam, Satyalokam, they are all above, one above the other. Maharlokam is all the rishis live. Janalokam is where all the discussion happens, Shruti Gita. Tabolokam, all the tapas is performed by great rishis. They perform in Tabolokam. Satyalokam, Lord Brahma's planet. So he's saying here that Naishthika Brahmachari wants to go to Brahmalokam. Upakurvanan goes and gets married, right? So he has a ceremony called a Samavartanam before that, before he become a householder. And one who has decided not to go home, not to get married, then he doesn't go back. He will stay with the Guru, right? In order to study Vedam better and develops more bhakti in that way, and he will stay like that. So, one who wants to go to Brahmalokam, that's where he has to do. Stay back with the Guru, study Vedam further, service to the Guru, and finally he will go back. So, whole life he has to do that. And then, if you stay with the Guru, you get time to discuss with him for what you call Arthavijaram. Arthavijaram means, what does it all mean to properly understand? That's why Shastram, all Shastram, requires Arthavicharam. Arthavicharam, yeah. Arthavicharam is essential for any Shastram, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, everything. What does it all mean? Yeah. So, of course, you know, in the modern, people come from a different way of thinking, right? And that's where this acity is coming from. That what is written in there, that's the meaning. No. And then Arthavicharam is not required. Arthavicharam is necessary for all Shastram. Arthavicharam is essential. Only through Arthavicharam you will go deeper into the topic. You won't. Otherwise you won't go deeper into the subject. It will become like rules and regulations. What we say, the you know, the book about the traffic rules, traffic light.
Highway code.
It will become like that. Shastram will become like a highway code. What's written there, that's all it is. Nothing more than that. So that's not, means there's no Arthavicharam there. So Arthavicharam is necessary, right? Agnau Gurav Atmanicha. Agnau Gurav Atmanicha. Sarva Bhudeshu Mam Param. Aprasadhiru Vasidam. Brahma Varchasya Kalmasha. A brahmachari, Naishtika brahmachari, who does not get involved in other things, always studying and doing this Guru Shishrusha, service to the Guru, and never exposed to associating with women or girls, right? And totally remain aloof from that, what you find in him, there is radiance coming from that. That is called Brahma Varchasa. The name of that radiance that comes on his face is called Brahma Varchasa. Brahma Varchasa means that illumination-like nature on his face, because he has not had any sense gratification. He was always absorbed in studying Vedam and the Shastram and the Arthavicharam, and lived a life of such a rigid, followed the rules of Brahmachari life, and engaged in the Guru Shishrusha, service to the Guru throughout his Brahmachari life, naturally he will have a radiance on his face. Will notice it specifically. And that is called a Brahma Varchasa, right? And obviously that person is not sinful at all. He has not done anything sinful in his life. And he, such a person, if you look at his face, even your own sinful reactions will get burned into ashes by seeing such a brahmachari, right? And he does not have ragadvesham in him, because he was not exposed to this world, what we are living, right? And therefore he does not have vedabuddhi either. Vedabhavana he doesn't have. And due to his education, his subtle body is so pure, he will be able to maintain an equal vision to all living entities. And he will have a tremendous respect for Guru and Krishna. And he will know that the Ishvara, Guru and this world and himself is all one. And he won't have any Veda Buddhi in him, he's saying here. You see that? Krishna is saying, Agnau Guru Atmani Cha Sarva Bhodeshu Mam Param. Aprdadhirubhasidam Brahma Varchasya Kalmasha. Brahma Varchasya will be there in him. Right? So this Brahma Varchasya has come to him due to this Vedam, studying Vedam, Veda Dhyana, Veda Abhyasam, right? And he has developed this Brahma Varchasya, like, and it is showing up on his face and in the body like a fire. And he has respect for Agni, Guru and himself, and in all living entities he will have this realization of the presence of Antaryami, because Vedic knowledge is inside him strongly, right? Kalmashahinan, that means, you know, he is living without any sinful reactions. And that Brahma Varchasa will purify, is all purified him so much, and therefore he has good realizations as well. Yeah. And he is seeing Krishna's presence in all living entities, and in Agni, as well as in the he spends his time in that way of life. Yeah, and he also knows that Krishna is present inside a Sandaryami. And with this knowledge he has, after studying the Vedam for so long, right? With that knowledge, everything may not have become, all the knowledge may not have become, may not have been realized by now in him, right? But at least in buddhi, it has taken over. It has not come into realization stage yet. Paroksham has gone, but aparoksham may or may not have happened. That's how Krishna says that. Paroksham will happen, definitely. He will have everything, proper knowledge will be there. But as far as realization is concerned, not all, part of it may have realization, may have happened to him. That depends on the person. So, but with this, what he has in his buddhi alone, that is sufficient for him to realize that Krishna is present in everybody. And so therefore, he won't have Veda Buddhi much, Veda Buddhi in him. And he will continue his Upasana in this way. In this way, he will continue his Upasana. In this way, with that Brahma Varchasa, what is called Brahma Varchasa, that radiance in his face, without any sinful reactions, Akalmasham, he should live in the Gurugulam. And that Naishthika Brahmachari is the one who will go straight into Vanaprastham and Sannyasam. Vanaprastham and Sannyasam. So, their dharmam is spoken in the next verses, which we will discuss after the break. Cheto darpanam arjanam vaumaha davagni nirvapanam shreyakaitava chandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam आनंदाम्बुदिवर्धनं प्रतिपदपूर्णामृतास्वादनं सर्वात्मना विजयदे श्रीकृष्ण संकीर्तनम् नामनामगारी बहुधा निज सर्वशक्ति तत्रार्पिता नेमिदा स्मरणेन काला एतादृशी तव कृपा भगवन् ममाभि दुर्दैवम् ईदृशमिहा जनिनानुरागाः तृणारवीषणी चेन तरोरभि सहिष्णुना अमानिनामानदेन कीर्तनीय सदा हरि न धनम न जनम न सुंदरी कविदां वा जगदीश कामये मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरी भवदाल भक्तिरहै दुगित्वै अयि नन्दननुज किंगरम पतितामां क्षमे भवाम्बुदौ कृपया तव पादपङ्कज सिद्धधूली सदृशं विचिन्तय नयनं गलदशुधारय पदनं गद्गदरुद्धय गिरा पुलकैर्निजितं गदावबोधव नामग्रहणे भविष्यति युगायुधम निमेषेण चक्षुषा प्राविशायुधम शून्यायुधम जगत् सर्वं गोविंद विरहेण मे आश्लिष्य वा पादरदां विनष्टुमां अदर्शनमर्महदां करोतु वा यथा तथा वा विददादुलम्बनो मत्प्राणनाथास्तमेव नापरा सर्वत्र गोविंद नाम संकीर्तनम् गोविंद गोविंद स्त्रीणां निरीक्षणस्पर्शम् संलाभक्षेलनादिगम प्राणिनो मिथुनी भूदान अग्रहस्थोग्रतस्य जेल Naishthika Brahmachari, Krishna is saying that under all circumstances they should stay away from women, association with women, right? In no way they have anything to do with women. Yeah. And similarly, women serving the men. And this way, Naishthika Brahmachari, it's a vratam like Ekadashi. It's a hard and fast rule. They can follow that. Vidyaranya Swamiji says this in the Jivan Mukti Vivekam. He talks about this. In any form, serving women is not allowed for a Naishthika Brahmachari. Even joking or any other kind of association in any form with women is not allowed. It says something interesting here that even they should not see a brahmachari like that, even the birds, male and female, associating each other. Even that they should not see, they say. Yeah? And because if you see that, there is a likelihood such a thought may develop in the mind. Similarly, Saubhari Maharshi, he saw this fish having. He went underneath the water to perform penances. And then he saw male and female fish having family life. So he started thinking, why shouldn't I have a family? Thought came up to him. He has gone to perform penances to stay underneath the water, to stay away from the world. He chose that. He had the yogic power to remain underneath the water. It's in the ninth canto, famous story. So what happened to him? He wanted to get married, not once. He got married 50 girls after that. But then, because he was a rishi, and he had that knowledge in him, eventually he went to the forest, and they all went with him. They all realized the truth and succeeded in self-realization. So, because Saubhari was a very powerful person, Saubhari, that story you can read in the ninth canto, right? So, any living entity, in any species, male and female associating together, they shouldn't watch that, right? Because there is a likelihood chances that you'll get attracted to that, male and female, getting attracted to each other. So, and all this is applicable to vanaprastham and sannyasam also. Naishtika brahmachari, vanaprastham and sannyasam. Right. Then, shaujam, ajamanam, snanam, sandhyo, upasanam, arjavam, tirtha, seva, jabo, asprishyam, bhaksha, sambhasha, varjanam. Inside, outside, always clean. Ajamanam, snanam, sandhyavandanam, tirtha, snanam, gayatri, japam. All these things one should perform. And you should not touch or eat anything what is not allowed and give up everything. Right? So this is all for Naishtika brahmacharis. Right? Not allow to develop kamam, krodham, lust, anger and things like that. He should maintain his mind always in a clean state, not infected with ragadvesham and other impurities, right? And dehashuddhi is important, but more important is manashuddhi, inside, right? Achamanam, snanam, sandhyovasanam, arjavam. All these things, he is saying, required. Arjava means no duplicity, straightforwardness. And crookedness in the mind. You know, honesty and truthfulness, right? Keeping one thing in the mind, speaking something else, that's not straightforward. That is called. So, if you don't have that, it's called arjavam. Arjuna was known for that. Very straightforward he was, Arjuna. Then, traveling to holy places, Veda, Mantra, Japam, Gayatri. Apart from that, there are special mantras in the Vedam. Very special mantras, right? And reciting them and doing upasana with that. That's what he's saying here. Asprishya. Then he says, Asprishya, Bhakshya, Sambhasya, Varjanam. That means that you should not touch things which is not to be touched. And then, while speaking, language should be cultured language. Asabhya vastu, asabhyam. You shouldn't speak. Sabhya means not very refined, in other words. Eating also. Sarvashrama prayuktoyam niyama kulanundana malbhava sarvabhudeshu manovakaya samyamam. For all ashramams, one thing is very common, one dharma. What is that? Able to see Krishna's presence in everybody. Krishna is present in everyone as their very self, and recognition of that bhava. Krishna's presence in everyone, recognition of that bhava. Right? And able to see all living entities as Krishna Swarupam, and this called a Samabhavana, one should practice that, and this is common for everybody. What he's saying here. Malbhava sarvabhudeshu sarva ashrama prayuktvayam, Krishna says, in all ashramams, one should niyamam, it's a rule. Kulanandana, malbhava sarvabhudeshu manovakaya samyamam. Malbhava means seeing Krishna's presence, that's most important one. Krishna's presence, right? So, and brahmachari, grasam, vanaprastham, sannyasam, all of them, this is a common rule for everybody. It means sarvatma bhavam, ishvara bhavam. Krishna, recognizing Krishna in everyone. Evam brihat vrata dharo, brahmano agniriva jvalan, malbhakta tivra rasa, dagdha karmashayo amala. A Naishthika brahmachari who follows this, Krishna saying, going to Brahmalokam won't be a very difficult one. He will get there at the end, right? But without desiring all that, if you follow without desires, brahmachari life, what the benefit is that, even if he has not gone to Brahmalokam, he will purify himself from all the karma vasanas inside. And karma vasanas will be destroyed, his subtle body will be purified, and he will develop bhakti. He will develop bhakti, and he will get liberated. Jivan mukta stage can come to him. So Naishthika Brahmachari, who is looking for liberation, but with this Brahma Varchasa, or that radiance, what he has acquired, and he will develop bhakti, and then in the knowledge of that, in that fire of knowledge, all his karma vasanas will go, will die, and he will become a first-class devotee, Uttama Bhakta, right? And suppose that Naishthika Brahmachari has no desires, Nishkamam, then due to that Brahma Varchasa in him, and due to this knowledge of the Vedam, as what will happen is that if he execute the sadhana what is spoken in the Vedam, if he does that, he will acquire the knowledge of the self, and the end result will be that he will burn all his karma vasanas in the fire of knowledge, and that way his connection with the gross and subtle bodies will be totally broken. And with that, when that happens, if your connection with the gross and subtle body is broken, that means that your individuality has gone, personality has gone, ahangaram will go completely. Ahangaram means individuality, personality, right? And with finally what will happen, he will realize the self and he will become a devotee. Jitnyasu, so when Krishna said the four kinds, artho jitnyasu artharthi jnani, and artha comes because of material difficulties in life, he comes to Krishna. For example, you get very sick or suffering in life, you pray to Krishna to relieve you, that is artha. Artha means one who is suffering in this world. And so artha means one who is having problems in life. Yeah. Different types of problems. Diseases, problems with wealth, family life, all kinds of problems which is suffering, he is suffering from that. He is called artha. Jignyasu means one who wants to know things. And in that way, he wants to experience it. So for that he is doing his bhajana. His spiritual life is for that purpose. Jnani, on the other hand, he sees everything and he sees Krishna's presence in everything and in him, and he worships Krishna without differentiating. He is present in everybody. For Jnani, that is the vision. He sees Krishna's presence in everyone. So, artha jitnyasu artharthi, they not fully understand tattvam properly, right? And therefore, jnani is karmam, yeah? Jnani's situation is that He sees Krishna's presence in everyone, one who is present in everyone, and in that way, he sees this world as Krishna's manifestations, and by seeing in this way, that Krishna's presence in everyone, and that is his upasana, Jnani's upasana, and that is that upasana what Krishna is saying here, Jnani's upasana, right? So, that means Jnani's relationship with Krishna is, he doesn't want anything from Krishna. He is seeing Krishna's presence in everything. That's what he wants to goal. So practically out of this four, Artho, Jityasu, Artharthi, Jnani, except Jnani, all the other three are with desire. They have kamam inside. Artha because of his problem. Jityasu, he wants to know. It's also a desire. Artharthi wants money or wealth, whatever it is. Artho, Jityasu, Artharthi. So all the three have got desires. Jnani doesn't have desires. So Jnani's bhakti is higher than others' bhakti. That is what he is stressing here. Yeah? So, Jnani doesn't have a goal like that, like the other three. But there is nothing wrong if you approach Krishna, if you have desires like that, a problem like that. Who else can you go to? So you should not think that they are all bad, but at the same time, any bhakti is good, whether it is artha or jityasu or artharthi or jnani, bhakti is always good. But this jnani subhasana is of a higher level. That means he is seeing Krishna's presence in everything, and that is his relationship with Krishna. That upasana is higher than anybody else, right? Anybody else. So, and that is why he said here that it is the best bhakti. So that's what that 36th verse is talking about. He will develop that bhakti. That bhakti. Then,
अधानन्तरमावेक्षिन् यथा जिज्ञासिता गमाः गुरवे दक्षिणां दत्त्वा स्नायाद् गुर्वनुमोदिताः.
After talking about this Naishtika Brahmachari so far, Krishna is going to talk about Upagurvanan, if he goes and get married after that, after Brahmachari life, right? And the rules related to that. He is saying that he has to perform this samavartanam and he should give dakshina to the guru according to his capacity and gets his permission, and then he can close his brahmachari life and is ready for grihasthashramam. He should receive the permission from the guru, right? So, So Upagurvanam Brahmachari, who is called Upagurvan in this way, right? He performs this, completes this Veda Dhyanam, is over for him, given his Dakshina, and then he is ready, getting ready for Grihasthashramam after Samavartanam ceremony. So this Samavartanam, it's an elaborate ceremony before entering into Grihasthashramam. And there is a special way of bathing for that samavartanam ceremony before entering into grihasthashramam, right? And that is why Krishna mentioned about that snayad. You see that word, snayad. Snanam means to bathe. Krishna has specifically spoken that before samavartanam, that particular snanam should be performed. Only after that he is allowed to come home. Now, either he can go into Upagurvanam, can go into Grihasthashramam, or he can go directly into Vanaprasthashramam also. Otherwise, if he is qualified, he can go to Sannyasashramam. There is choice there at that moment. Griham vanam vopavishet pravrejedva dijottama ashramal ashramam gached na anyada mat parashared. This is an important thing.
What is he saying? Krishna is saying that Upakurvanan is not condemned. He is okay. But if he has got desire for sense gratification, suppose somebody wants to have wife, children and all that, then at the same time he wants to purify himself. Antakarana Shuddhi he wants. He wants grihasashramam, he wants household life, and he wants Antakarana Shuddhi. He wants to purify himself. Right? If that's the case, he can follow the grihasashramam, but in course of time, you'd go into vanaprastham. You should go into vanaprasthashramam. And if he is purified, then he can, if he is purified by then he can take sannyasam also. Everything depends on his own situation, each person, right? Krishna's opinion is better to go from one ashramam to another ashram rather than jumping over ashrams. Krishna recommends that. Ashramal ashramam gachet, Krishna says. Go from one ashram to the next ashram. That means brahmachari, grahastham, vanaprastham, sannyasam. You will ripen properly then. Otherwise, if you jump into from brahmachari life to sannyasa ashram, there is chances that you could fall quickly. Because spiritual strength inside, you may are thinking about yourself something, but the vasanas, you don't know what vasanas are inside, which can trap you. So therefore he is saying here, best thing is ashramal ashramam gachet, one ashramam to. Otherwise, he said, if you jump over ashrams, then you can drop, fall. And if you have developed such a strong attachment, bhakti, to Krishna, then all these rules are not so important. You can go ahead with it, right? And it is good to do that. So provided you have that strong desire for Krishna and desire for self-realization, right? Because highest dharmam, Krishna says, is realizing me, self-realization. So if he is close to that, then he not be bound by any kind of rules and regulations. It's not applicable, Krishna says. So, Varnashrama Dharmam is like this. It is helping people who wants to go through a disciplined way to mature it. But the goal is bhakti. If you have developed by now sufficient bhakti in the heart, then you don't need to worry about all these things. That's all it is, right? So, that means if the brahmachari is with the desire, then he can go into grihasthashramam. And Antakarana Shuddhi, if it is there, subtle body is pure, it doesn't have such bad thoughts coming, emotions, then he can go into vanaprasthashram straight away. So subtle body makes that decision. The state, the situation, the status of the subtle body, how your subtle body is, right? And otherwise, you can go to grihasthashramam and vanaprastham and sannyasam in this way. One thing is that you shouldn't stay without any ashram. You should in one of the ashrams, right? And similarly, you shouldn't go to one ashram and come back to the old ashram. That's also not allowed. Brahmachari becomes grihastha and then vanaprastham, and then he comes back to grihastha, and then he becomes a brahmachari. That all happens these days. People have done all these things. That's not allowed actually, right? And so an ashrami, no ashram, that shouldn't happen. And also you shouldn't break the sequence. And one who is not a devotee, who has no bhakti in the heart, he should not remain like that, and also he shouldn't change that order, right? The order. But that does not apply to a devotee. Provided he is a pure devotee, all these things don't apply to him. Provided he is a devotee, first class devotee, right? And for a devotee, he can go from brahmachari ashram to sannyasam. And ashramam rules is not applicable for your devotee actually. This ashramam rules. The purpose of all this is to develop bhakti. So if you have developed bhakti, then you don't need all these things, right? And you can even leave all the ashrams and stay as a devotee. But you should be a proper devotee then. Not that I decide that I am a devotee. You have to reach that status of bhakti, right? Griharthi sadrishim bhairyam udvaheda jugupsidam eviyasim tu vayasa yam savarnam anukramat. The one who wants to become grihastha from brahmachari life, right? He has to find a wife who is favorable, and her character is svabhavam, is good. And it says here, few rules are spoken here, right? She should be younger to you and belonging to the same lineage, if possible, in the same kulam. And similar systems, similar habits, everything. And she could be accepted. For example, a brahmana can accept a wife from any of the four, kshatriya, vaishya or shudra. Kshatriya can accept from kshatriya race, and Vaishya and Shudra. Vaishya can accept from his own Vaishya families or from Shudras. And Shudra can only marry girls from his own group, Shudras, right? This is proper order. If you do against that, that is wrong, against Varnashrama Dharma. So, all this is not favorable for the welfare of the world, Krishna is saying. It's not favorable if you break all these rules, right? And therefore, it's followed by people who are serious about everything. Otherwise, you marry anybody whom you like. What can you do? That's the world today. That's the way it is. What can you do? Anyway, I can only read it out what says there. And it says here that she should belong to the same traditions and some subhavam, and by age she should be younger, all that. Then, ijya, adhyayana danani, sarvesham cha dijanmanam, pradigraho adhyabanam cha, brahmana seva yajanam. Brahmana, kshatriya and vaishya, they are dvijas. Therefore, yagam, vedam, education, padipa, dhanam, they are eligible for that. They are eligible to perform yagam, they are eligible to study vedam, and they are eligible to perform charity. And these three things, performing yagam, studying vedam, and giving charity, this is allowed for brahmana, kshatriya and vaishya. But to receive dhanam, charity, and to teach vedam, and to perform sacrifices, make others to sacrifice, only brahmana is allowed. Yeah? So you can see where they stand, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, the three major ones, right? So, brahmana, kshatriya and vaishya can do charity, they can study vedam, and they can perform yagam. They are allowed. Yeah. But to receive charity and to teach vedam and to make others to do yagam, only brahmanas are allowed. Only brahmanas are allowed. If the brahmana sometimes happen to be rich and they want plenty of wealth, right? Because they are brahmanas and they are wealthy, then they accept this charity. That's not allowed. Pradigraham. is not allowed for them. These are rules that they followed at that time. Yeah. So, because giving, accepting charity and educating others in Vedam and performing yajnam is their livelihood. Who? Brahmana's livelihood. So therefore, the others are not allowed to do it for that reason. Right? These three things, educating, that is their main occupation, educating others, adhyavanam. Similarly, performing yagam, only they are allowed. And similarly, charity, receiving charity, only they are allowed. Pratigraham manyamanam, tapas tejo yashonudam, anyabhyam eva jiveda, shilerva doshatap tayoho. 41 words. So these three things are livelihood for Brahmana. And if you start thinking that receiving charity is going to destroy your name, because when you receive charity, your name is gone, black. And similarly, it will minimize your tapashakti, strength, spiritual strength, right? If you think like that, and if you start thinking that this educating others and performing yajnam, and you start feeling there is also not good, if a brahmana feels like that, then he can go to the land where after harvest there will be some grains lying there. He can pick it up, bring it home, cook that, eat that and live on that. He does not have to accept charity. Provided he feels that by accepting charity and by accepting these two occupations, adhyavanam and yajanam. Adhyavanam means educating others. Yajanam means performing yajnam. Both of them you will get from that, you will have an income, isn't it? Dakshina will be given. And if you feel that it is affecting your spiritual progress, you should give up all that and then go and pick up the grains from the field and bring that home and cook and eat it and survive like that. So difficult, is it not? So that's what he is saying here. There is a rule that if you receive charity, it will destroy your tapasya and yashasya. Tapasya means spiritually whatever you are getting it. Spiritually you are performing upasana, sadhana, and you are developing some spiritual realization inside, it will be affected by that. If you receive the money in this way, and if you live on that, this is why the salaries in the temple is not acceptable. It's not right. Because if you do that, what will happen is pratigraham you are receiving. If you take the money and use it for Krishna's projects, it's fine. You are not taking. You don't live on that. You don't make a livelihood out of it. Use the money for Krishna's propagation, Krishna consciousness, fine. But if you make a livelihood out of it, you are in the wrong side. You have done the wrong thing. You won't make any progress in spiritual life. On the other hand, you are actually sharing of the source of the money, who gave you the money, their sinful reactions, you may have to share with them. As I mentioned before about the Nobel Prize, right? Everybody, Trump wants a Nobel Prize now, isn't he? Everybody is saying, they don't know these things. This Nobel Prize you get, that man has done all kinds of sinful things. And he's generated so much wealth. And then he wants to, that is what's called a pratigraham. You see, Krishna uses the same word. Pratigraham manyamanam. Pratigraham, while receiving, you have to be extremely careful that you don't touch a penny from that for your life in this world. Your happiness, you would go and work on yourself, make your own livelihood. Don't use somebody else's money. That has to be very clear spoken. And that should be followed. And that Prabhupada also said that, very clearly he mentioned that. But who is following now? They made the whole thing in a different way. And it's not nice to do things like that. And Prabhupada said, okay, because he understands that people don't have any money, he said, therefore you can take prasadam from the temple. And accommodation is concerned, you have to find something, whatever the society is giving you. Homelessness, people are supported. At that time it was like that, he said. And if you can't do that, manage with that, go out and work, he said. And make your life as an honest person. We live an honest life like that. Rather than putting all these, cover, and presenting to the world you are pure and you are this and you are that, when you are so close, when you are even the very fundamentals of spiritual life, you are not understood. That's the point. Yeah. So that's what Krishna is saying here. Pratigraham manyamanam. Who is allowed here? Yeah? That pratigraham will destroy. You won't make any spiritual progress that way. If you use spiritual life for your material happiness, right? And while receiving this, this charity, yeah? Others will think about you that he is greedy. And and then whatever tapas, what you are performing, austerities you are performing, that will not have any benefit. So, Atmiya Siddhi. Atmiya Siddhi means you are making more progress in spiritual path. That Siddhi, sadhana, perfection. That will only happen through tapasya. So, or in other words, proper becoming free from the infection, from the bodily identity. And that is tapasya, right? So, dhanam, that means receiving charity, and tapasya, they are like this. If charity is coming in, you should know that your tapas is harmed. Tapas is a strength that you have to come from inside. Yeah. So, and due to that, you may have to suffer. Their karma will come to you through the money, right? So that could become, when you receive their wealth in that way, their sinful reactions will become an obstacle in your spiritual sadhana, almiya sadhana. It can become an obstacle. And that will destroy that radiance what we spoke about, Brahma Varchasa, it will be spoiled. So, so you have acquired Brahma Varchasa by studying the Vedam and following a rigid life as a brahmachari. Then in the householder life, if you start thinking that I can accept charity freely from people, that will destroy your Brahma Varchasa, Brahma Tejasa. Therefore, Dhanam Pradigraham. Dhanam Pradigraham. And one should always be careful about it, not to receive it if possible, right? So, because these six occupations given to the Brahmana, Yajanam Yajanam, Dhanam Pradigraham, Adhyayanam Adhyabanam, these are the six things recommended for them, right? So, here, he's saying here, he should try to make his living through Adhyabanam, educating others, right? And educating others is better than performing sacrifices. Yajanam. Yeah? Yajanam is allowed for him. Adhyabanam is also allowed. Adhyabanam means educating others. Yajanam means performing sacrifices. Out of these two, Adhyabanam is better than Yajanam. Educating others is better than Yajanam. And then, because in Yajanam, also you are receiving pradigraham, money you are receiving as dakshana, right? And that is a dakshana, where adhyabanam is not considered in that way. Then, so better than yajanam is adhyabanam, right? And so adhyabanam is better than yajanam. Yajanam means sacrificing, performance. So you can take one of these two, yajanam or adhyabanam, better than receiving charity, dhanam. Better than receiving dhanam is yajanam or adhyabanam. Out of that, adhyabanam is the best. But if that's not possible, yajanam is allowed. So this is all about the brahmanas who are doing that. Yeah. So then, Krishna is saying that Brahmanasi hidehoyam Shudra kamaya neshyade krichraya tavase cheha pratya ananda sukhaya cha. Brahmana should tolerate life. That is his life. All inconveniences in life, all sufferings in life, all reversals in life, he should just tolerate it. That's Brahmana. Brahmana means tolerance. That's his quality, right? Because Krishna is saying, I have not given him this body to enjoy life, sense gratification, this silly sense gratification. I have not given the body for that, he says. And doing like that will affect his sukha prapti. It will become an obstacle. Therefore, mind should not go in that direction. And while living in this world, accept all the sufferings of this world, what comes to him. And he should learn how to control the mind in those situations and use the intelligence what he has for tatvajnanam, for knowledge of the self. Yeah? If he does like that, after death, he is back in the spiritual world. He is realized then. Actually, Krishna is saying that a brahminical birth and a brahminical lifestyle, practically, he has finished everything, all his duties in this world. If you make one more step, he is in the spiritual world. That's his position. That's what that verse is saying. Brahmanasihi dehoyam shudragamaya neshyade krichraya tapase cheha pretya ananda sukhaya cha. Unlimited happiness will come from, he will have, if he gets to that state. Yeah? So, therefore, all these things are not, people have not taken, and therefore there is all these problems also because of that. Shilonjavritya paritushta chitto dharmam mahandam virajam jushanam. Mayarpidalmagraham evatishtan nadi prasaktam samubaidi shandim. Nadi prasaktam samubaidi shandim says, yeah. Krishna says that the if you go into the streets, suppose for a second, the market, where the grains are, grain merchants, they'll have their big shops. In all the markets in towns you'll find. And then the grains will fall down from the bags while transporting. He's allowed to take it from there and eat that, cook and eat it. Right? When he does like that, it's called Unchavrti. And Shilavrti and Unchavrti, the two things, right? Because he is not dependent on anybody for his livelihood, not asking anyone and not working hard. Two things. He's not doing any karma and he's not asking anyone. Imagine that state, what it will be like. And he wants to maintain his body. And this is his option left for him. And therefore, you can do this without desiring anything, and at the same time fixed in Krishna consciousness, in bhakti. If you do like that, you will become free from rajogunam. If you become not attracted to karma, means you have become free from rajogunam. If you are not attracted to karma, you have become free from rajogunam, right? And because you become free from that, and then you have developed attachment to Krishna without desiring any wealth from this world, therefore, Krishna says, one who is in householder life like that, such a person, and he, after death, leaving his body, he will be liberated. Shironja vritya paridushta chittam, madharmam mahandam virajam jushanam, mai arpidalma grahameva tishtan, nadi prasaktam samubedi shanti. State of shanti will come to him. So you can see where Krishna is coming from in all these things, is it not? Samudharandiya vipram sidandam malparayanam, dhanudharishi nachiral apadbhyo navrivarnavad. That dharma, grahasashrami, who is following the, who does not have wealth, after saying these things, this is about the grahasashrami who doesn't have wealth. Like his, I was talking about Tyagaraja Swamiji's life. But ideal. Never went to work, won't go to work, and won't take money from anybody. In this, finally, under a lot of pressure, he went for Unjavrati and brought something home. How much would they get it? Very little. He brought home and he cooked and he ate happily. And Rama Rama rest of the time. So that's not possible for everyone. It's the grahasashrami who doesn't have wealth that's spoken about it. Now, what a grahasashrami who has got wealth, what he should do, that's what the next. He's saying, Krishna is saying that he should live a life dependent on me, but he should protect other brahmanas who doesn't have wealth and who are lying there without food. He should look after them. And similarly, others also who doesn't have food, you should provide food for them. And he should protect them from all their distresses in life. You know, if they are getting sick, you should give them the help for that. And Krishna says that in this way, if the rich grahasashrami look after the poor one, brahmanas, then Krishna says, I will save them from all sufferings. They won't have to suffer. Sarva samudharet raja pideva vasanal prajaha alpanam alpano dhiro yada gajabadir gajan. A father looks after his children. Similarly, Gajendra looks after all the other elephants, and the king looks after all his subjects. And similarly, a king should look after himself and others equally, in the same way, right? Raja, about Raja, he says, evam vidho narabhadir vimanen arka varchasa vidhu yeha shubham krishnam indrena saha modade. A king who looks after like this his subjects, his sinful reactions all get destroyed in this very life. After death, he go into heavenly planets and he will be with Indra for some time, enjoys his life. And a Kshatriya who has executed his dharmam properly, he goes to Indra's planet. So that is what, talking about king, he is saying this, right? He gets purified and he goes to Indra. That's guaranteed for a king. Then, Sidan vipro vanik vritya, panney revapadam tharet, khadgena vavadakrando, nasya vritya katanchana. He says, if abadharmam means when you are in danger, what you should do? That if you are in trouble, then you should, it could come a situation that you cannot maintain yourself with your dharmam, ashrama dharmam. You are bound to break that. Yeah, you are not able to maintain yourself with the ashrama dharmam. And so, when the brahmana comes into that situation, in his ashrama dharmam, he is allowed to become a vaishya. Brahmana is allowed to become a Vaishya, right? That means he is allowed agriculture, farming and everything. But still he should not do selling, he should not run breweries and toddy shops and bar and pubs and things like that. A Brahmana should never do that. Yeah. And so he should think about it. He is allowed Vaishya Vritti, Brahmana, but not that kind of Vaishya business of bar or these gambling places and things like that. He shouldn't do that. In other words, those things brings cheating, propensity, greed, everything in him. That shouldn't happen. Otherwise, he says that Shudra Vrithya Bhajed Vaishya. When if that is not possible for him, he can take the work of a Kshatriya's job. But whatever situation he falls into in life, low-class occupation, he shouldn't choose a Brahmana under any circumstances. Yeah, you know that Drona is a Brahmana. He accepted a Kshatriya's occupation, right? So he gave up his Brahmana vritti and became a Kshatriya. And so even though he has studied Vedam, Shastram, everything, and he was a qualified Brahmana, due to his poverty, he turned into that occupation of a Kshatriya, right? And that is why he had to teach this art of fighting, both to Pandavas as well as to Kauravas, both of them, right? Due to poverty, he did that, right? But he still tried to maintain his Brahminical nature. And such a Brahmana was allowed to do that, and that's what he did. And that is all what he did, teaching them art of fighting, both Kauravas and the Pandavas. So when it is done like that, it is called apadharma. That means you are in trouble and you have to do this dharma for that reason. Yeah, apadharma it is called. And once that apadha, danger, has gone, then you shouldn't continue that anymore. You should go back to your original dharma, right? Vithiswa dharma, that Brahmanyam, Brahmana dharma. Drona was not supposed to continue with that. Once the danger is over, he should go back to his own dharma, right? And he should not continue with any other dharma. Because Krishna says, Sodharmam is important. You should not. It is called Abadharmam. That is, in danger you are allowed to do that. When you have difficulty in making a livelihood, only at that time, but after that you should go back to your Sodharmam. Right? And only in the difficult times, this Abadharmam is allowed. Kshatriya Vritti or Vaishya Vritti. He can be a Kshatriya or he can be a Vaishya, but never a Shudra. For a Brahmana is not allowed, right? And so Kshatriya Vritti and Vaishya Vritti is allowed in difficult times. Gautama, who wrote Nyaya Shastram, right? They have defined all these things very clearly, that their opinion is that for a Brahmana, better than Kshatriya Vritti, Vaishya Vritti is better. Gautama Maharshi says that. Why? Because there is violence in the Kshatriya's karma. At least there is no violence. And violence is the one that under any circumstances one should avoid. So Brahmana is safer with a Vaishya than a Kshatriya, if there is a difficult times. Otherwise he should remain as a occupation as Brahmana. Normally all circumstances he should remain with Brahmana Bhakti. But if a difficult times comes in life, he can become a Kshatriya or Vaishya. Gaudama Maharshi says Vaishyavruti is better for him than a Kshatriya because that does not involve violence. Violence in Vaishyavruti is less, you can say, compared to Kshatriyavruti, right? So, then there is story in the Upanishads of a Kshatriya accepting priesthood. That's also there, right? And he has studied Vedam and he has accepted priesthood because of his difficult situation. Kshatriya has accepted priesthood, Brahmana Vritti, he has accepted, right? And there are stories where Brahmanas have acquired education, Vedic education from Kshatriyas. That's also there, right? So, but they have performed that only during the time when they were in difficulties. Otherwise they will go back to their Kshatriya Vritti again. Vaishyavritti is also allowed for Kshatriya. But Shudra Vritti never. Shudra Vritti Nicha Sevanam. Nasho Vrittya Katanchana. Shudra means dog. Shudra means dog. That you are dependent on somebody else for living in this world. Yeah. So therefore all these restrictions for them. And Shudra can do his any service, whatever he do. And that's also mentions here. Shudra Vrittim Bhajed Vaishya. Shudra Karyukata Kriyam. Krichran Mukto Nagarhyena. Vrittim Lipseda Karmana. He says. Vaishya, when he is danger, he can take to Shushrusha, serving others. Right? And that means looking after others. Or managing others' businesses and things like that, he can do. Shudra, when he is in trouble, he can do carpentry and then making these mats and other kinds of, making artwork and things like that. And then once he is free from all his distress in life, then he should not engage in such things anymore. So this is called abadharma. Only in troubled times, difficult times, you are allowed to choose these occupations. Strictly speaking, Krishna is saying, any occupation is not wrong, is okay. Because all occupations are required for the society in this world. So it should be understood that way, that it is not considered to be condemned. But in that particular varnam, it is necessary to follow these rules, right? Then, Veda Adhyayanam Swatha Swaha Balyan Nadir Yathodayam Devarshi Pitru Bhudani Madrubani Anyoham Yajet. After saying all these things, how to become free from trouble while living in this world, yeah, Krishna is talking about Grihasthashramam, the Pancha Mahayajnam, what they should follow. By studying Vedam, you are paying back to the rishis for the knowledge what you have taken from them. By performing Shraddham, you are paying back to the forefathers for what they have done for you. Through Homam, you are paying back to the Devadas, demigods, for all their comforts they are giving us to live in this world. Then different belly, you are offering them for different living entities, different bodham, birds, animals, feeding them, looking after them, all that. Then by looking after the guests, atithi, with that you are serving the human species, overall, all human species, by looking after the guests. So, Krishna says, rishis have to be known as my manifestation in this world. And in this way, all these things, five yajnams, what's spoken here, Krishi yajnam, Pidri yajnam, Deva yajnam, Bhuda yajnam, Adhidi yajnam, these five, they are called Panchamaha yajnam. Householders should follow this rigidly, right? Krishna says, because all living entities are present in me, I am present in them. They are all present in me and I am present in them. Therefore, rishis have developed the mantram for doing all these different things. And they know the power of all these things well, the rishis. Because of that, you should honor the rishis very well. Because they brought up all this, Panchamahayajnam has come through them. They put all these rules and regulations in this way. Yeah? So that's what Krishna is saying there. Vedadhyayanam, Swadhyayam, and Veda Mantra Japam. All these mantram what Krishna has mentioned, Swatha, Swaha, we mentioned there. You see, Vedadhyayam, Swatha, Swaha. So, these things, Swatha, Swaha, are used mainly for Pitriyajyam, for forefathers, right? So, for Pidrakarmam, it is Swatha. Pidratarpanam, Devayajyam, Rishiyajyam, Pidrayajyam, Bhudayajyam. And a Grihastha should perform all these things on a daily basis. And Krishiyajnam is reciting the Veda, Veda Japam. When he says Japam here, refers to not chanting the holy name, reciting the Veda, Veda Japam. And similarly studying the Veda, Swadhyayam. And Pidratarpanam is Pidrayajnam. And then there are special occasions when you perform this Pidrayajnam, Amavasi day. And all Amavasis you are supposed to do that. And then Shraddham. Pidrayajnam is there which is done on a daily basis also. Then Devayajnam. If you are an Agnihotri, you have to perform Agnihotram. And if you are an ordinary Grihastha, you have a thing what is called Aubasanam. You perform that, right? So, Agni is burning at home all the time. Isn't it? Agni is burning. Now there is no Agni because smoke alarms are there everywhere. So there is no Agni. And not this Agni, British gas, firewood. And it is burning, with you have to chant the mantram and the Agni has to burn. And when you perform the in that fire, when you perform the Havisa, that's homam. That's called homam. So, and that thing what you do is called a chayanam. These are all words, technical words for that. Chayanam is the one what you do. And the process is called homam. And it is the Agni that you have created at home, for which is continuously burning. Like you must have heard this, that Radharamana Mandir, their ancestors have been going on for 500 years, that fire has been burning. 500 years. So many generations back, that fire has not gone away. In Radharaman Mandir in Vrindavanam. That fire has been lasting over 500 years, imagine. And the daily homam has to be performed. Similarly, giving food to other living entities. That is Bhudam, Bhudayajnam, right? So, in this way, Devas, Pidalevas, Bhutas, Rishis, one has to see Krishna's presence in all of them. And finally, Krishna is saying there that in every ashramam, Krishna is saying there that the what one should follow. If you look at Devarshu Pidrubhudani, Madhruban Anyaham Yajed. Madhruban Anyaham Yajed. So, Grihani Bhudarakshebhya. He will say this while discussing this later on. He says that the every ashrami, that is at the end of this Varnashrama Dharmam, he will say, what is important for every ashramam? What is important? Yeah, for every ashramam. So here he is saying that Varnashram, that is at the end of Varnashrama Dharmam. He will discuss this in the end of next chapter. He will say this, right? What is important in all these things for every ashrami, right? In there, Krishna is saying, at the end of next chapter, Grihastha's main responsibility is to look after everybody. Brahmachari, Vanaprastham, Sannyasam. Looking after them all, and the society is dependent on Grihastha for that. Grihini Bhudarakshejya, it says. Bhudarakshebya. Protecting all other living entities, maintaining them, is responsibility of a Grihastha. Right? And everybody, through their ashrama dharmam, what they are doing actually is, he is serving Krishna directly, right? So, as I said before, ashrama dharmam is a moksha sadhana, it is. It is sadhana for moksham. So, if a shudra executes his dharmam properly, he has done his part, he is qualified for liberation. Through his dharmam, he becomes perfect. So, what Ishwara Aradhana, Grihastha doesn't have much of a responsibility to perform sadhana. Like a brahmana, like a brahmachari or vanaprastha or sannyasi, their life is full of sadhana. Grihastha doesn't have that. Grihastha, what he should do, if he maintains all others, that is his sadhana. Bhudarakshebhyo. Yeah? Bhudarakshebhyo. That means people who come to him for help, look at them as Krishna has come in that form and fulfill their desires, whatever they want. And so serving the other living entities as Ishvara, that is the occupation of a Grihastha. Grihastha has got that responsibility. That is his sadhana, in other words. Grihini Bhudarakshebhya. That's the way Krishna concludes this. Because he says, in each ashram, what's the most important thing? So when it comes to householder, he says like this. That is his major responsibility. If he has done that, he has fulfilled his Grihastha Ashrama, Grihastha Dharma properly, right? Seeing everyone as Krishna's presence in them and serving them and fulfilling their needs, whatever it may be. And that is his main dharma. And that includes not only human beings, animals, birds, everybody, right? Ishara Buddhya, same. So that's what it is. Panjayatyam we have spoken now. Next verse. Yadrucha yoba pannena, shukle no varjidenava, dhanena pidain prithya, nyaye nevaharet kratun. So, all these things he has spoken, Krishna says, that one has to be careful about certain other things in life. What one should do, dharmam. Money should be acquired in the right way. And then he should look after the servants and all, if he has got servants, right? And with whatever wealth is left after that, he can perform yagam, and that is also for the Grihastha Ashrami, to perform yagam, right? Yagam you should only perform if you have the financial clout, or financial ability to do so. Only then you have to do it. Otherwise, it's not mandatory for a rich Grihastha. If you are very wealthy, it will cost a lot of money and a lot of organization and everything. Then he is saying that, so, but the wealth should be acquired in a dharmic way. Yeah? And and he said that yagam is not compulsory, but if a circumstances comes favorable for that, then it should do that. If plenty of wealth has come and you have fulfilled all the needs of your servants, then with the wealth what is left, you can perform that. You should not be miser. That's the point Krishna is saying here. For example, without paying people who are working for you, servants, and then accumulating wealth in a miserly way, and then you are spending it for yajnam, that's not right. Yeah. First of all, you should pay them, the people who are serving you, and then after that. And if there's any wealth, then you do it. Yeah. So, next line, important one. Kudumbeshu na sacheda. Na pramadyed kudumbi abhi. Vibashil nashuram pashel. Adrishtam abhi drishtavat. If you do that, you'll get a heart attack. That's how strong that words are. Kudumbeshu na sacheda. Grahastha has to be always very alert. What is that? Wife and children are there, but that's not everything in life, having wife and children. That is a problem in household life. Wife and children comes, then that becomes a life. Looking after them and maintaining them and fulfilling their needs, you think that you have done everything for them. And that becomes your goal of life, right? Kudumbeshu na sajeda. Why? Na pramadyedu kudumbyabhi. It will develop pramadam in you. Pramadam means that you will lose your knowledge. Spiritual realization will go from you. Vibashil nashuram pashyel. You should always be aware that this is a temporary setup. This householder life also. Vibashil nashuram pashyel. That nashuram nature, temporary nature of the world, you should be very conscious of that. Householder. Adrishtam avi drishtavat. He says, because even heavenly planets, what it looks that adrishtam is also temporary. This world is temporary, heavenly planets are also temporary. So that realization should be there in a grihastha all the time, Krishna says. Yeah? Because kudumbam, family life is like that. Always householder will be thinking how to maintain the family, how to have a proper income, things like that, right? Due to that, Krishna says, your service to me should not be affected by that. Krishna consciousness should not be affected by that. Mind should be always be attached to Krishna, right? Because I have a lot of family problems, therefore, you should not allow your mind to become affected by that because of all the family problems. Like we discussed yesterday, manmanam hava madbhakta, manmanam, Krishna says, mind should be attached to Krishna, right? And always being thoughtful is the symptom of a learned person. He is always thoughtful about things, right? And whether it is life in this world or life after death, he should not be too concerned about it. All the attention should not be about being comfortable and happy in life and about comfortable and happy in the life after death. Right? Because always you should be aware that the happiness what you get from this world is temporary. And similarly, happiness in the heavenly planets is also temporary. And if you are desiring for that, that means you are not very thoughtful. It's a symptom of that. You are not very thoughtful about life properly. You're not thinking about it. Therefore, Krishna point is, you should accept that and not to get attached to it very much and be more focused on me, Krishna says, and conduct your family life according to the prarabdham, what it comes in hand. With the money what you get based on prarabdham, and conduct the family life on that understanding. Which is a big advice to householder. And one should remember that words all the time. Kudumbeshu na sajeda. Na pramadyeda kudumbyabhi. Vibashil nashuram pashel. Adrishtam abhi drishtavat. Then, putradarapta bandhunam. Krishna said this now. There should be not much attachment in the householder life. Pramadam should not come. Pramadam. You know what pramadam means. Pramadam means illusion. Amaya thinking. That you feel that you are doing the right thing, although you are doing the wrong thing. And this comfort what you are getting from grihasthashramam is momentary. It's not permanent thing, isn't it? And that awareness should always be there. Similarly, heavenly planets, going back to heavenly planets, also temporary. So both iham, param. this life and the life after death, both of them, to develop attachment to it is not good. And Vishayasakti, he should control maximum. And this misunderstanding that householder life is to enjoy, that should be given up first. He said, Bhoga Sukham, in this world and the life of death, Grihasthashram is not meant for that. Then you say they become Grihamedhi. You are not Grihasthashrami. Grihastha ashramam is for moksham, grahamedhi is for sense enjoyment. Yeah. So to forget the goal of life and to get attracted, because this opportunity for bhoga sukham is only in grahastha ashramam. It's not available in brahmachari, vanaprastham, sannyasam, isn't it? So therefore the warning here. Similarly, all the wealth what you have acquired, right, should not be used only for this purpose, for bhoga sukham, right? And mamata, asakti in them should not be, there should be too attachment to anybody, family members or relations or anybody for that matter. And how to do that? Does that mean that you completely break away with them? No. But you don't have to become like a stone hearted, because oh, Krishna has said like this, so I have nothing to do with you, go, get out. And that's not the approach. That's not the right thing. And what it means is that the attachment to them, you give up inside. The attachment to them. Always remember that they are also Krishna's manifestations. It so happened on a bodily level only you have relationship with them, right? And so therefore, not thinking that they are yours, you have to think that they are Krishna's property. Krishna has put them with you for some time. That's all it is. And in that way, you, as though you will serve Krishna, in the same way, you can offer them whatever help what is available from your side. And mamata nirasam, it is called. It's called mamata nirasam. Nirasam means denying that mamata, refusing it, right? So they will be with you so long as Krishna wants them to stay with you. After that they will be gone. One day when Krishna decides something, either they will be taken out from you or you will be taken out from them. It can happen either. So that's the way the relationship should be. That they will go one day, you will also go your way, relationship is over with that. So Krishna, that is the point Krishna is making here. So long as Krishna has put them with you due to prarabdham, you provide them whatever help is possible from your end, right? And same thing with all family, friends, and relations, everybody. And when they have become independent and capable of standing on their own, then you have no responsibility for them to look after them. Yeah? And they will stay on their feet, and you should not get involved in their affairs either. That's also troublesome. They have to make their own decisions. If you start getting involved in their decisions, you will suffer from that later on. It will affect your life also, right? And you should allow them to make their decisions on their own. And you should not insist that they should do all the things in consultation with you. If they make the decisions, you have to allow them to make their decisions. Good or bad that comes out of it, that's their prarabdham. You should be able to leave it like that. You should not interfere in their life and being driven by that, thinking that you have no responsibility once they have become independent and able to stand on their own feet. Then you don't have any responsibility for them in grihasthashramam. So basically you are supporting them to the extent that they are able to stand on their own feet. Yeah, and once they become capable of doing that, you don't have a responsibility in looking after them. Similarly, once the girls are married, then you don't have a responsibility in looking after them. So, similarly, the sons, once they got married and gone, you don't have a responsibility in looking after them. For the girl, it should be the husband who should be looking after them, not the father anymore. and you have to leave them to themselves to go ahead with that, right? Because otherwise what will happen is, if you get involved in their life, till end of life, you will never have any time for your spiritual life. That means you will leave your body in this world, thinking about all of them, and you will end up in another body with all the vasanas what you have created, because you never put any effort in your spiritual life. That's why at a certain stage one should pull out, withdraw from everything, right? Similarly, children, you can help them in whatever is possible, but once they have become capable of doing themselves, then you have to leave it to them. Let them manage it themselves, right? So, and you give them the education, what is required for that. And if they are not willing to do, to get educated, and if they are not willing to look after themselves, sometimes children are like that. When they grow up, they see the father has made so much money, why should I unnecessarily let me live on his life, on his money? And if he thinks like that, parents don't have the responsibility to look after them, right? So, one who is not responsible, parents don't have to feel depressed about it, that he is not able to look after them. They don't have to feel depressed about it. This detachment is necessary at every stage in life. Otherwise, you will be in trouble. You will get into problems. Because our goal of life is not all these things. Running a good householder life and looking after others. That's not the goal of life, right? That is the next verse. You see? These verses are very hard-hitting. Particularly this 52, 53 and 54. Especially to householders. Yeah? Otherwise your householder life will go into trouble. Look at the next verse. Putra dharapta bandhunam sangama pandha sanghamaha anudeham viyandyade sopno nidranugo yathaha. Krishna says that normally in a householder is very interested in the happiness of this world. That is his very nature. That's how you find them. Their shraddha, their bhakti is for living a comfortable life with the family. That's a very subtle thing in him, strongly present, right? So Krishna is saying that this, and this happens, his field of his happiness is wife, children, friends, relations, and their association. That is his field of, all householders are like that. You can see that. Carefully, if you look at householders, they'll be very entertaining relations, friends, families, visiting here, visiting them, coming back and forth, visiting each other, and having feast, meals together, and discussing all kinds of issues. And this is the householder life, is the madness of that. Yeah. So his field is this, wife, children, guests, like friends and families, visiting them, right? Krishna is saying, sangama panda sangamam, means that you are meeting them, like, you know, in the olden days, these pedestrians, they will walk everywhere, there was no transportation, people walking. So rich people, they will run these places where they will supply water free, or buttermilk, or things like that, tender coconut, for people to drink. This is rich people's charity for those people who are walking. And that arrangement, when you go there to drink something, you may meet up some people. And for a few minutes you have a relationship with them. Because you are drinking, they are also drinking from the same place. So you met them for a few minutes and you have a relationship with them. And after that, you will go your way, he will go his way. Sangamam panda sangamam, he says. Householder life is like that, Krishna is saying. That they have come to this world and you happen to meet them here. You didn't know them before. They didn't know you before. They happen to meet you now and you happen to meet them here. You together met in this place called them. Yeah, the I forgot the name in English. There's another name for that satram-like thing, yeah. Dharmashala, I can say, where you meet up like this for these reasons, right? So Krishna says you should think it like that. Why? Because every time you are born and die, you will have a meeting like this with the family and children and relations. They will be there in every body when you get it, right? There will always be a connection and there will always be a breakup. You will join a family together in each family life and there will always be a breakup after that at the end. So, and that is to be considered, Krishna says, just like when you woke up from a dream. In a dream you were a family man. When you woke up, your family life is over. That dream family life is over. Similarly, you are not seeing your wife and children whom you had in the dream after you have woken up. They have gone. And when you were sleeping, they existed, right? When you woke up, they have gone. The only difference, Krishna says, this life, awakened state, what you are going through, is not much different from that. The family life of the dream state. And the family life in the awakened state is not much different. Only thing is, this lasts a little longer than the other one. Right. This can be discussed in detail, but not now. In Ekadasham, Krishna discusses this when we discuss Jagrat, Swapna, Sushupti in detail. There he will say, comparing this both, life in vacant state and life in the dream state. And he said there that the prarabdham of wife and children cannot be stopped by the parents. Remember that. Parents cannot do anything about it. Their prarabdham is their prarabdham. You won't be able to influence that prarabdham. It's a misunderstanding in our head that you can change all that. Yeah. So, and with that knowledge, you should live peacefully and execute your dharma properly. That's the advice. Putra dharapta bandhunam sangama panga pandha sangama Anudeham viyandiyade sapno nidranigo yatha. We'll stop there today. We'll continue tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Jiraji Atma Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada.